Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Danberg. NHL free agency begins in 2 days, and while Blue Jackets defenseman Zach Werenski has 2 years left on his deal, the Athletic's Aaron Porcelain told Bishop and friends Werenski could be on the move soon.
I think if you're the Jackets, obviously Werenski is front burner. This has to be dealt with, and I think before July 1st.
Wednesday's free agent window starts at noon. Golf Victor Hovland won the Travelers Championship in a rain-delayed playoff this morning, edging Scottie Scheffler, who missed a 4-foot birdie putt to extend the round. NBA per ESPN, Cavs guard James Harden's declining his $42.3 million player option to work on a new multi-year deal, while Warriors forward Draymond Green is also declining his player option, giving Golden State room to pursue LeBron James and trade for Anthony Davis. MLB Guardians host the Rangers at 7:10. Reds visit the Brewers at 7:40. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
It's time to add some spice to your nooner. Funny. This is the place where big time guests, bold opinions, and little cute doggies come together. This is Rothman and Ice,
sponsored by Pella Columbus, the number one rated windows and doors in Columbus.
Here we go into a holiday week. Rothman and Ice, Anthony Rothman, the Iceman is back. TLC is in the house. It's good to have you.
What up? What up? It is. It's always good to come home.
Is it?
You know, it is always good to come home.
Thanks, LeBron.
It's good to be back, man. I missed you guys. Had another baseball tournament out of town over the weekend.
Did you guys make amends? Because I think the last one was, you fell below expectations.
We made progress this weekend.
You got humbled, I think,
we did.
You
get
got
humbled.
No fight with another manager.
No, it was, if he would have said something to me personally,
sure,
it may have gone there, but luckily it didn't go there. No, this weekend, we made it to some Sunday baseball, which was great. Proud of the guys. They're putting in some good work. We got a few weeks to go, so hopefully they can really lock in and finish the season strong. But yeah, I was down in the old Cincinnati, Kentucky area over from Thursday to Sunday. So, no, good stuff, man. I'm proud of the boys, and I had a fun weekend. What's been up with you, man? All good?
All good.
Good, brother. Good. Shout out to Bids, Dave Biddle and Scotty Vegas, for filling in.
They were in the chair
for me on Thursday and Friday, and now here we are entering another sports week. And AR, things are seem to be brewing, brother. Yeah. Here locally for us.
Yeah, it's tough. NHL draft was, the thunder was stolen on any of the picks, and I'm not a guy that would ever begrudge a guy who's on network TV that gets breaking news or an agent texts him. What's he going to do? Now, could they have held on to that for 3 minutes until a guy gets picked to let him have his day? Of course. Maybe timing is everything on that, but it doesn't change the result. And you were not here, but we had Don Waddell on Thursday, and there was something amiss. You know, I'm not always the where there's smoke, there's fire. You know, mm-hmm. It could be just that smoke, mm-hmm. and it's not some brush fire either that just is out of control. This one, when we had Don on Thursday, it felt off to me. I tried as hard as I could to, like, ask him, be respectful, but pepper him a little bit with the important things. And it just didn't come off to me. And you haven't heard it. And maybe we'll play some for you, because
yeah,
I'd like to get your reaction on that.
Yeah, I'd like to hear it.
But it's eerily similar to me, a guy that's been around here a while. And when Nash's trade went down, and he was here 9 years. Zach's been here 10. He's put in his time.
Mm-hmm.
They've missed the playoffs now 6 straight years.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, and I'm not saying that there's no hope, but what I mean by no hope is what I mean by no hope in the organization they might make the playoffs. Now there's very little hope he's staying, like, in my mind. When I rehear the interview in my mind with Don, he was leaning more into the, I got to protect the organization. And after listening to it again, because in live time when I'm listening to it, I'm trying to really digest it as it's going in live time. And I didn't sense the urgency in it, and that made me feel a little better. But he could not reassure. And that's what I was asking him to do. Can you reassure that this is just smoke? And he was into, hey, I got to do right by the organization. Whenever a GM says that, whenever he admits that, then I feel like it was already headed that direction.
Yep.
With Zach, this supposed first and second meeting, because you know I was like dying on the hill of, why are you meeting again? You met 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. There's nothing to meet for. And now in my mind, I'm believing that the first meeting, before right before you got the Norris, and let's not forget, there is a Norris Trophy winner for sale in his prime. That is massive. Mm-hmm. He was a runner-up last year. Like, this is, you could say that Rick Nash is talented, more talented, different position, whatever.
Yeah.
But this is a Norris Trophy winner that's for sale. And he's got a 9.85 cap hit for 2 years. This is about as attractive for someone to want him and for the haul that you could get for him in the same breath.
Completely agree with you. And I'm glad you brought up the lack of high-end success that we've had here in the city. Because being fortunate enough to talk to Z during Hockey and Hounds over the last few years, he doesn't strike me as a guy that's chasing big city bright light stuff. Just doesn't seem that he really is dialed in on that being a factor in his future. To me, Z is one of those guys that is about his business and being the best hockey player he can possibly be night in and night out, and he's accomplished that. He is not only one of the best defensemen in the world, as we know, he's just flat out one of the best players in the entire NHL. And when you start to approach that 30-year-old mark, I think you look around at your situation, and I think you can become realistic with yourself and say, yes, I love this city. Yes, I love this fan base. They brought mm-hmm. me in. We did contracts together, all of that. But it's time to win. And unfortunately, here in Columbus, for us, the best finish we've had, even in the Metro, since we went to the postseason, as you mentioned, back in 19 and 20, has been fourth place. And so it's what you're doing in your Division II that's tough. Because since that year, it's been 7th, 6th, 8th, 8th, 4th, and 5th in the Metro alone. And so that's obviously not where you want to be. And when you're Zach Werenski, and you and I talked about this last week, when you're around guys in that Olympic circuit that are the world's best players, you feel what it's like to play high-end hockey. When you're Z, I can't knock him for wanting to feel that vibe night in and night out. I can't. This is going to be a very, very tough pill to swallow for Jacket fans, and I get it. Get it. And especially if you're a Browns and Blue Jacket fan, because you're looking at, in the same offseason, losing Miles Garrett and Zach Werenski. I'm preparing for Z to be traded. I can't be mad at him for, at this point, wanting to be traded out of Columbus just because of the inconsistencies of what they've done as a hockey club year in and year out as of late.
It was important to get in this year.
Yeah.
I don't know if that would have changed it, but it would have changed one thing. They wouldn't have six straight years without making the playoffs.
Correct.
And I think that the compiling of that, I think that matters. And he won, you could say, the ultimate prize outside of the cup. He won Olympic gold, yeah, which hadn't been done since 1980. And he was involved in it.
Yeah.
And it was about the biggest thing you could imagine. Now, when it happened, you could look at it two ways and say, well, you have won the ultimate. That is a dream beyond dreams. But so you would say, well, maybe it would soften his stance on needing to absolutely desperately leave the city and go to a winner. But I think you're right. I think it lit a fuse. I think with Nasher, it was similar, but he wasn't an MVP. It was like, this is a Norris Trophy winner.
Yeah.
This is, but he was a number one pick. He was a franchise leader in everything, number one in everything. And he spent 9 years here. He was 28. Zach has spent 10 years here, and he's a hair older. Rick waived his no trade. He had a no trade, just like Zach does. And at that point of his career, Rick had tasted the playoffs once. And guess what happened? They didn't follow it up.
Yeah.
The next 3 years, there was no postseason for Rick.
Mm-hmm.
And they were looking at a rebuild. So he got to New York. He had some great years. He played in a cup final. And so it worked for him. But this one, with 2 years left, and I saw Buchagross tweet this over the weekend, like, I wouldn't trade either one. Marchie, what?
I don't get that.
You play the game. Play that game with Marchie all day long. They have leverage over Marchenko. he's not going anywhere unless they want him to go somewhere as an RFA. Like, that's fine. He can play that game too, and he's a great dude. But this is a complete difference. The Werenski versus Marchenko,
it's different.
It's night and day.
Here's what I would do, though, AR. I'd trade them both.
Well, that's fine.
I would trade them both. Now, because when I was out on Friday, Marchie's agent came out and said that he wasn't going to re-sign her. The plan is right now not to re-sign or something like that, that they got.
Essentially, he wasn't interested in
correct, in running it back.
Yeah.
Trade them both. You do it now. Because I think with the Marchie thing, you don't want this hovering over your head either, because it's just always going to be a thing. So I think that's just what I would do with Marchie.
Yeah, now
that
he's told you try that, it,
I think you move on now and just rip the Band-Aid off and just start over.
It's a great, great score in the NHL. The problem with that one is, and this is the emotion in me, is that if the Columbus Blue Jackets continue to be a farm league for the NHL, yeah, that we're going to develop dudes and then have to trade them, that's the tough pill to swallow. Zach, 9 years, ten years. And so I get it. Six straight years without making the playoffs. Marchenko RFA, we could leverage him to death. He's going nowhere if we don't want him to. And so I know that's not great business, and they certainly could probably get a lot for him, and maybe that'll be it. But losing your best two players in the same offseason here after with nothing to show for it beforehand. This isn't Panarin and Bobrovsky.
Right.
Having that incredible run with Torts and Lars and that crew. Like, at least you swept the best team in hockey over the last 25 years. That was a milestone moment in the organization's history. Wasn't great. I know people are probably still looking at that and second guessing. Well, it didn't get you a cup, so probably should have dealt him. But that's life. But it was a great moment for the franchise. But now we're here. And now, the funny thing about Nash, had him on the program about 4 years ago when they announced that 61 was going into the rafters before the Bruins game. And I remember asking him about that time. You're a star. You're 28. You're going to get traded. The finder of things, TLC, has that interview.
Let's go.
And I haven't heard this in 4 years. And so we'll have that clip for you next. And then we'll get your live reaction to Don Waddell from Thursday, and he's got some work to do. Off and running, Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
We have so many local shows, I can't fit them in a 10-second promo. So let's just say we're live and local all damn day. The Fan.
Your next
cousin.
Think you know Buckeye football? These two say, hold my beer. The Beat with Austin and Berm.
Sponsored by the Waterworks.
Daily on The Fan's YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center. We go into the final days of June with sunshine and heat. Temperatures today getting into the low 90s, and then for tonight, overnight lows into the upper 70s. For Tuesday, plenty of sunshine with highs in the mid 90s. However, the feels like we'll soar with that humidity into the triple digits, so make sure you're staying cool and drinking plenty of water. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
We test marketed naming the show A Guy and His Butlers.
Oh, that is very touching.
But we thought Bishop and Friends had a better ring to it.
Weekday mornings at 9.
The Fan.
Hey, this is Michael Behrens, Big Red, otherwise known as the Czar of the Parking Lot. And you're listening to Rothman and Ice on 97.1, The Fan.
By the way, big day today as far as giveaways.
Let's go. Let's go.
First of all, before we get to the big giveaway, just want to mention the floor is yours, top of the hour at 1 o'clock. And the best call of the day will get the Skyline gift card.
Yes, yes. And not only do we have that, but TLC is making it known that we got a hothead burrito catering package to give away as well that can feed up to 20 people. So stick with us for both prizes. You got to participate at the top of the hour, as AR mentioned, with the floor is yours for the Skyline giveaway. And then you never know when the hothead catering package is going to be given away either. So yeah, lock in, folks. We've got some good stuff to hand out to them.
All right. So if you just kind of woke up, I mean, what a team could match. I mean, they're trying to get a bidding war going for Zach Werenski, and that's why these things just can't happen in like 2-3 days. Because you have this asset, and you certainly want teams to come to the table with their best offer. And Don's always mentioned about, and I'll say it in this clip too, about he was trying to improve the team and get tangible assets back and not just picks.
Yeah.
Now, if you go to Quinn Hughes's trade, the Vancouver Minnesota trade, it was essentially they got three, I would have to go back and look, three first rounders
and a player.
And a first round pick. Well, no, what I meant by three players that were first round picks, like ready dudes,
right,
and a first round pick that they used this last draft. So that's what you're kind of looking at for Zach. Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet had mentioned that there were a few destinations and whether or not this plays out. I mean, to me, if I'm Zach, so Zach has a no movement, so he'd have to give them a list. They can't just shop him anywhere. He's got to give them a list of where he'd waive his no movement for. And whoever gets him would get, at minimum, a year and a half, because they'd get this season with him, then maybe they'd get half a season up to the deadline, kind of like with Quinn Hughes in that trade.
Which should help the return.
And not only that, definitely, the team that trades for him, if Zach were to change his mind on that team, let's just say hypothetically Zach says they get him to Dallas,
yeah,
or Toronto or wherever, and in a year he says, I changed my mind. I don't want to be here. I tried it, just like with Quinn, like you could change his mind too. And then that team could then go ahead and trade him with time left and recoup assets on the trade that way as well. So they're protected. Whoever trades for him, even if he doesn't sign an extension, they could have him for a year. Maybe they make a run to the cup and he gets a chance, or it doesn't work out the way he thinks. So even the team that he eventually would get traded to, they could trade him again and turn him around.
That makes sense. I think for the team that's always acquiring a player of this caliber, two things that can really, I think, help, you know, build up a draft package and return back here are obviously the guy being elite, but also the control that you alluded to, right? And you look at his contract, and I think that's great, great news for that team to hear, is that we'll have this guy for a year and a half or whatever it may be to work with him on the next deal if he wants to be here. So I do think that can benefit the Jackets trade return outside of Z just being an awesome player. And so I always like the feel of when you get rid of a guy like this, that there's at least one or two assets in the return that are right now players, that are guys that can help you right now, or a prospect that's close. And if they get that with some good to great draft capital along with it, to me, that would feel pretty good. None of this is going to feel good because of what we're losing and how good he is. But I think that, to me, is going to be what I can't wait to see, is what Don can cook up in the form of, yes, assets down the road that are valuable, but also, can he knock it out of the park and get both in this? That's the dream.
I think he wants more tangible than pick, but that's yet to be seen. The problem is, if you trade Zach and you get, you know, a big power forward, you get somebody that really can score and all that, you're still losing the number one defenseman.
Correct.
And defense wins a lot. Because in hockey, they're on the ice half the game.
Yeah, it's like
they just impact everything.
Yeah.
Look what happened when Vegas beat Colorado and Cale Makar was not out there for the first two games.
Yeah.
And maybe he wasn't even 100%. Like, they impact the game on both ends in every, in special teams. Like, they do everything.
Right. So it's like if you brought in the power forward that you're talking about, like, you're shoring up one hole that's leaking water on the boat, but then that hole on the other end of the boat's opened up with water coming in.
That's right. Yeah. And so whether it's Dallas or Carolina or Toronto might be in there. San Jose, they're coming, but I don't know if Zach would want to do that. Detroit, that's a home call. You know, that's trading one thing for another, unless that somehow gets Larkin to want to stay. Like, I don't see that. Boston could be sneaky. Anaheim is young, but they're coming. So that, to me, would be, they'd give us youth.
Yeah, and that's going to be the tough
There's
part.
There's a couple sneaky ones. Washington, Montreal could load up, maybe, because it sounded like they were going to maybe load up for Marchenko.
So if he's locked in on wanting to be a part of a good team, which my guess is obviously he wants to do that, right? He's not going to leave here to go to a similar situation.
You wouldn't think so.
The picks in return, AR, that could get a little dicey off of where how good that team is going to be with Z.
That's exactly my point.
Yeah.
That when you trade for first-round picks, you're trading presumably with a contender. So, like, the one that Vancouver got back was a late. I think it was a 24. So when you, that's why I'm saying you don't want to trade for picks, because you're trading them to a contender. So those first-rounders are going to be late.
Yeah.
It's not a good situation there. So you do want tangible assets back. All right, let's get your reaction. This is the little give and take. Maddie, now remember, I'll set this up. There is a presumed meeting with Zach and Don Waddell right before the Norris Trophy was awarded to him. And then there was this word of a second meeting that was going to take place post-draft.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, my mind went to, well, why are you meeting again? Now, after rethinking this, I'm like, that first meeting was probably him telling you, hey, I have no plans to sign an extension. The second meeting, presumably, and my guess is, to either update him on what's going on, like, how we doing on the trade, what's happening, like... I think now I'm reading it correctly. Okay. And I don't think this was like national NHL media trying to drive a wedge between the Jackets and their players. I don't think that.
Yeah, I'm not getting that. And it's understandable for me for Jacket fans to be very emotional about that. So you've got these vultures, you know, swirling around the city. And as a fan, you're going to take it personal thinking that there's another agenda going on. I get that from the fifth line.
Right, let Maddie hear the Q&A. You did meet with him not long ago. Why would this come up again so soon?
Yeah, I met with them actually the day before the Norris was had breakfast with them the day before the Norris was announced, and we did. We had a very good conversation. You know, and since then, you know, there's been a lot of noise around the league, of course, and you know the question that you know that I'm trying to get the answer to is, you know, long term. What's the, you know, we got 2 years left on the contract. If the mind's made up that it's time to move on, you know, then we have to think about it from a hockey club standpoint. But, you know, we're not at that point yet, and we'll continue to talk to them. And just, I think it's important to stay in connection not only with your players, but particularly your top player, and just make sure that the way the league is going right now and seeing some of the players that have moved around, that we feel like we have a fair chance moving forward with Zach.
Did you call the second meeting post-draft? Did you reach out to him and say, okay, now let's discuss this part of it?
Yeah, well, that got a little bit probably blown out because I have not scheduled anything yet. I said my plan was to meet with him as a representation after the draft, so we don't have anything scheduled yet, and we'll figure that out here. You know, the focus right now in the next few days, the calls I'm taking on other deals that we've been working on, and of course the draft. So we'll get to it, you know, and see where everybody is. And, you know, again, it's not a decision that comes lightly from, I'm sure, from either side. And, you know, we got an obligation here to try to keep moving forward, and we'd like to move forward with Zach. And we try to make sure we're all on the same page as we try to do that.
Is there something about what's happening in the NHL now that you feel is more than a coincidence with guys that are requesting? He hasn't requested anything, correct?
Correct, yeah. Yes, we discussion with his representation, but nothing too definitive yet.
But you would need to have time because of a player of this caliber, you could get a relative haul for him. His value is incredible at this point.
Yeah, correct. And just coming off the Norris Trophy, which is the best defenseman in the league. And, you know, I'm sure that teams will be lining up if we get to that point. And, you know, we just have to see where it goes because nothing says we have to do anything. We have 2 years left, but we also know that if we're not going to get him signed in 2 years, that's a huge asset that we can't just walk out the door and start over with that. So it's something that we have to discuss. And, I think the agent I know well, and he's pretty open about things. So we'll get to where we need to get to here in a very short period.
Would you think it's good news to Jacket fans that you didn't have to have this supposed second meeting before the draft?
To me, first of all, with any of our players right now that we're talking about trades, we're not looking for draft picks and prospects. We want to make our team better. If I was to trade anybody off our team and take a call, so lots of guys, you know, I tell everybody, we need players. We're not looking to add more draft picks to this year's draft or future picks or prospects. We need players for our team. So nothing would change in that case. So the draft really doesn't have an effect on any of our players getting traded at this point if we make any decisions to trade any.
Do you feel like that this year, you got Rick back for a year, and it feels like a little bit of a show-me year to Zach, like almost like he's willing to, you know, continue his contract and play, yet the improvements that you make might be a way to sell him on the long term?
Well, winning always helps everything, right? Let's face it. We've made big strides the last 2 years, but we still haven't got the ultimate goal of getting in the playoffs. So, you know, that's our goal when we start the season, obviously, is put ourselves in a position to compete for the Stanley Cup. And, you know, you can talk to players forever, and players want to be parts of successful organizations. So certainly that would be a big step in our favor if we can make the right moves to put us in that position to take that step.
And you feel he's entitled to have knowledge of that, meaning that as your best players, you say, or one of your best players, that he would be involved in knowing your vision and how you intend to improve the team?
No, I think, yes, I think that's smart. No, I'm very careful about calling players about players we're training for, because everybody's got different feelings. You know, I got a great support staff around me and a scouting staff for a reason. So we make those decisions, but we all know that, you know, if we could add some scoring and add some upfront help, that would be important to all of us. So I know where our holes are, and I know where everybody felt that we need to get stronger and better, and we're going to try to fulfill as much as we can.
Mm. Semantics.
Yeah,
I followed up with, he didn't request a trade, but did his agent.
When you asked him that, what kind of stuck with me was him saying nothing too definitive yet. What did you get from Zach and his agent at that point in time? Like, what wasn't clear, or what was clear?
Maybe there wasn't a perfect list.
But when he said there was nothing too definitive, to me, that was him having a clue that Z wanted to move on without him saying, I want out.
He had no real intention of signing an extension in 2 years yet. Yeah. We'll come back in 2 minutes. Sean McKindu from The Athletic covers the league. Oh, he's 2 o'clock. My bad.
I want to hear that Nasher audio.
Yeah, we'll hear the Nasher next. This was from 4 years ago on him reliving his trade request out of Columbus. Rothman and I.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Finding the sweet spot between the over and the under. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
It's an uncomfortable spot for the organization. They're not stable. And that's the one thing you want to be as an organization. You want to have stability. You want to feel like you've got a foundation. And the other thing that I'd like to mention that I mentioned last week was that as much as we like Rick Bowness, this is on a one-year deal. So that's, you look at a guy like Zach Werenski, who's had a lot of coaches.
Yes.
And had the one run, you know, with Torts and Lars and Shazi and Kenny. And I just feel like that's another part of this.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought this up.
That has not been mentioned in why he might feel like he could tell Don Waddell a few weeks ago, I'm not saying I won't, but I'm not saying I'm gonna, because there's just too many ifs right now.
That I think is a really good point to bring up, because we highlighted earlier just about the lack of team success and all of that, but I think that absolutely can be a factor in this as well. Like, think about if you're a quarterback, right? And since you came into the league, you've been dealing with 5-6 defensive coordinators. That much movement around you and lack of security can't be the best feeling. Going back to the clip that you guys played for me from Don on Friday, I thought you asked some really good questions, AR. We talked about the draft return and what that could look like in the picks when you do business with a good team. Hearing Don, you know, be in the headspace of wanting players, which that's great to hear. But if we're the team trading for Zach Werenski, how many good players are we giving to Columbus when we're acquiring a player like Z? The dream is to keep those guys with Z. So that was kind of tough for me to hear as well, because I think Don and the team's in a tough spot here. Because if whoever the team is going to be that he goes to, Detroit, Dallas, whoever it may be, why would they AR give up some of their high-end players? Because the dream for them is to pair them all together.
You can't add him without it. Ideally, those teams would like to send to Don their youth and their picks, honestly, unless it's a star.
It sounded to me like Don wasn't in the camp of wanting youth, or at least a whole bunch of it.
You look at the trade that Vancouver did with Minnesota for Quinn Hughes, and it's a first-round pick that was 24 overall. It was Bouillon, the 20-year-old defenseman. It was Ogren, a 21-year-old winger, and it was Rossi, a 24-year-old center. So you have some future stars in there. It's not, that's not nothing. That's a, in fact, I would look at the Wild acquiring Quinn Hughes for three guys and a first rounder as the exact template.
I'll be here for that.
And maybe even more because you have a reigning Norris Trophy Award winner.
I'm here for it. I would absolutely.
Quinn, now, Quinn was a little younger than Zach.
At the time, he was 25. Z's going on, I think his age 29 season or something like that as well.
But still in his prime.
He said, he quote, we need to add players for our team. And then he said, we want to add some scoring and some upfront help as well.
They added Nishushkin while you were gone. Big forward, nice. Probably a top 25 winger in the league, a guy that if he stays on the ice is definitely a very good pickup for them. But I went back and I started thinking about this beforehand, that Rick Nash, five-time All-Star for the Jackets, number one pick, 400 and some odd goals. He was number one in franchise for game-winning goals, points, games played, all that. And I remember when he scored the game, the goal versus the Hawks to tie the game for the first playoff berth and all that. And then his 61 goes into the rafters. But 9 years in Columbus, he was 28. He had a no-trade clause, but he waived it. And as I mentioned earlier, he had only been in the playoffs once. And the next 3 years, there wasn't anything. It was looking to a rebuild. So this is from 4 years ago. This was when Rick Nash came on the program. And I don't, honestly, I couldn't give you the details of this in my mind, so I'm actually curious about hearing it as well.
You had the no-trade clause, you waived it, you had been here a while. What were you feeling at that point in your career? You had tasted the playoffs once, the team did not follow that up, Jackets couldn't follow up that playoff appearance. Next 3 years, no postseason, you're looking at a rebuild. What was that struggle like? This is the organization that drafted you, believed in you, but you watch your career kind of going by the wayside here. Take me back to that struggle of wanting to be on a winner, but also being loyal to a team that drafted you.
Yeah, you nailed a lot of points, to the consideration that I had to make. I signed a long-term deal. I signed the 8-year deal that, would have took me to 34 in Columbus, and I planned on spending my whole career here. It was that year that we had a terrible year, and I went and met with management, and I asked them what their game plan was. And for 9 years, I've been hearing that they're going to build a team around me. And, I was in my prime then, and I heard it again. And they wanted me to wait a few more years to build a new team with trading away Voracek, trading away Carter, and, these different guys leaving. And after 9 years, I had 4 playoff games to my name. And I just thought that if they wanted to go into a rebuild, why not start the rebuild by getting the most pieces for me? And at first they were against it, and then they came around the CBJ to doing it. And, it was a mutual thing. And, at the end of the day, I got painted the bad guy, but I was pretty upfront and honest the whole time. And they asked me to be quiet about it, about that whole meeting, because it's going to, hurt them getting guys to come if they know that I'm leaving. And then, the press conference went down after the trade deadline when I didn't get moved. And, they started it with Rick Nash's approach us about asking for a trade where, I was told they're going to go and do a rebuild. So there's a lot of fuzzy areas, and there's 3 sides to every story. But I'm glad we're past all of it.
Mm-hmm. Very insightful.
It was, his hometown of Toronto. I think the Rangers were involved, San Jose, L.A. There might have been others. But I do remember now the difference is I think the Jackets feel closer now in a tough Eastern Conference. Like, I think they feel they had 92 points, I think, this year. We're on the outside looking in. I've mentioned this before. Las Vegas, who made the Stanley Cup final in the West, would have been eliminated if they were in the East with that record. And so the team feels
that way. Z doesn't. I don't know if I could. That's how I'm reading it.
Well, he just doesn't. Just go to 6 straight years without the playoffs.
Correct.
Just do that.
Yeah. It's not a great feeling. It's not a good place to be. It's not fun coming into work day in and day out, year in and year out with that type of struggle when you're that player. I understand it. This is very Miles Garrett coded to me. It is a guy that, while he hasn't come out and written a letter and went about it the way Miles did, I think it's guys that are in a similar headspace at a similar point in their career when they're looking around and they're looking at the time spent in a certain city and the blood and the tears and all that stuff we hear from athletes that they've given to a franchise in a city and saying, it's time for me to move on and experience something else. I think these situations, are very similar, AR, with these guys. And I actually think the Jackets can do something that the Browns didn't, and that's get a year ahead of it. Where the Miles Garrett situation, I think, was maybe a year late, even though I like the return. I think the Jackets now have a situation to pull the trigger at the appropriate time and maybe get a little bit more in trading off Z coming off an incredible season and winning the Norris Trophy.
Yeah, it has that feeling.
It's very similar.
It really
to the
does
air.
Because it's not the city. Because guess where Rick Nash lives? Like, he's part of the organization.
He's here.
And there's some royalty effect to that.
Yeah.
And there are guys that, now, maybe guys that are older that want to move back here or family men, but they've gotten a taste of the city and they know what it's like. I'm not going to pretend to know everybody's situation. I wouldn't. And for guys like Artemi Panarin and Sergei Bobrovsky and those guys, maybe they did need an ocean. Maybe they needed a winter along with the sunshine. I don't know. Maybe they it never penetrated here like it has with other guys. And I feel like Zach is similar to Rick in that he does love the city. He does love the fan base. He does love playing at Nationwide Arena. Who wouldn't? Place is packed.
It's rocking all the time.
In fact, honestly, it's almost unheard of the support that they get for not being able to ice a playoff team in the last half a dozen years.
What you just said, AR, is similar things we say about the Browns fan base and how incredible they are. That's why I just think both these scenarios are, to me, they're not the exact same, but they're pretty darn close.
Three words, to be continued. We'll come back and we'll party like a Rothstar. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Unlike your deadbeat uncle, we'll never leave you stranded in a ditch when you were six. This promo may have been a touch too specific. The Fan.
For decades up today.
If only there was a radio show that constantly talked about Ohio State athletics. Well, good news. It's real, baby. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
Proud to be your flagship home of the Buckeyes. The Fan. Ohio's sports destination.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Accurate Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Let's all gather into the Kiki. It's time to party like a Rothstar.
Oh, my goodness. All right, Maddie, I'm going to start with my guy and your guy.
Cook, go ahead.
And he's about to be nobody's guy. So on Friday, while you were gone, I put a guy in the pressure cooker that had only 7 home runs on the year. And I asked for a fuse to be lit. I put him in the cooker, and he responded. And the Reds were down to their last strike in the 9th against TLC's Pittsburgh Pirates, down 7-6.
Yep.
To right field. Reynolds watching. Gone! A 3-run go-ahead homer!
Oh, my goodness. That is unbelievable.
Reds down to their last strike, their last down in the 9th. It's 9-7 Cincinnati on the 3-run big fly by Gino Suarez.
That pitch was down around the shins, and Suarez caught it and hits it out of right field. How many times do we see Suarez go that way? That was awesome.
Yeah, not enough. So Gino had a 3-run home run, his first since June 15th. And despite having only the 8, he now has 6 go-ahead home runs in the 9th or later since the start of 2022.
Wow.
That ties him for the most in that category over the last 4 seasons. The bigger problem is he's hurt again. He can't get out of his own way.
Yeah.
He got hit by a pitch, x-rays inconclusive. And, of course, he's on my fantasy dinger team. And as I just lit the fuse, somebody decided to go stomp on it and say, now he's done again. But I got to give it to him because he answered the call when I put him in there on Friday.
I'm glad that you ran the highlight of that home run because I was at the Montgomery Inn, one of the Montgomery Inns down in Cincinnati with 2 of the coaches and 1 of the dads. And you guys will love this because we watched that live.
The game was in Pittsburgh.
The game
you were
was
in Cincinnati.
Pittsburgh. I was in Cincinnati, which was tough because I obviously would have went. But you guys will love this. So everybody's, you know, the waiters at our table getting orders. Everybody's, I'll get a half slab of ribs, half slab fries, baked potato. You know, it comes to me and I go, yeah.
Oh, no. Can I guess?
Yes.
I don't have their let me see if I can pull up their menu in front of me.
Chicken Caesar salad.
Hang on. He may have gotten, it's very close. I mean, he could have asked for a glass of water and an empty plate for all I know.
Unsalted almonds.
I thought about you guys when this happened, by the way.
Thank you. I brought my own. It just whips out a cellophane bag of broccoli.
Oh, man.
All right. So the question I have for you is, this was a dinner?
Yes, this was dinner. I arrived at about 7 p.m.
Okay, and you did eat.
I did. Yes, I did eat.
You did eat.
Yeah.
He definitely went to the salad category. I'm looking at entrees, though. Now, I don't know if money was an object or who was paying, but
we were with the dad that is a trauma surgeon.
Was he paying? Did he take care of you guys?
You keep rolling through the menu.
So but I need that information. Was he paying? Did someone treat the dinner?
No.
You paid your own.
I did.
All right, so maybe the coho salmon is off. The silver salmon. I'm going to say Maddie got... Boy, TLC might have gotten this.
He may have gotten a...
There is a classic Caesar, so I'm going to say he got that. And I don't even know if he got the full. He may have gotten the half Caesar. Hold the croutons and the shredded Parmesan cheese and add grilled chicken for $9.99. That's my final order.
Let me tell you something. You guys know me so well, and you guys are so close, but not there. Not there.
I'm going to play it anyway, Rothman.
We were close. We didn't Billy Squire this thing.
I did order.
Could he get the salmon?
He said we were close.
I did order, fellas, a half Caesar with no croutons.
I knew that.
And blackened salmon.
Blackened salmon.
That was the order. I said chicken.
So I had the salmon. Right, I just didn't put it on the damn salad.
You were right there. And when I ordered that, fellas, they almost fell out. They were ready to kick me out of the restaurant when
Sounds
I ordered
like a pretty
that.
Good meal. It was a good meal.
And then I did think about it, and I'm like, I was at a famous rib spot. And got, you know, you could have gotten the Caesar salad.
I mean, I like salad. I like salmon, so I'll take both.
Did you get a mixed vegetable on the side?
No, that's all I got. Because okay. I kind of had a big lunch before one of our games. But AR, you can guess what drink I had with it as well.
Agua.
A Moscow Mule?
Play AR's theme music.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm a basic
if
bill,
If I was
man.
At that dinner, I would said, all right. $1,000 if you eat this chocolate volcano cake. $1,000 right now. And you probably would have for $1,000.
No, but that's exactly what I had. So
chocolate volcano cake for $1,000, Alex.
Yeah. Carrot cake for $500, please.
Oh, it was good stuff down there at the Montgomery. And hey, real quick, because I know we got the floor is yours at the top of the hour, your chance to win a Skyline gift card. I'm going with the Charlotte Hornets.
Okay.
I like what they're doing right now. They trade Miles Bridges. Yep. They trade LaMelo Ball to Minnesota. Miles Bridges goes to the Phoenix Suns, but they get a whole bunch of draft assets back in return. You also get Naz Reid from Minnesota to come back to Charlotte. And you've got pillars I believe you can build around. And Con Knipple and Brandon Miller. You re-sign Kobe White to a nice little contract who I still think can give you 70 to 80% of what LaMelo did. So they were one of the fun, young and up-and-coming teams in the association this season. And I like what they did over the weekend. So I'll go Charlotte Hornets, partying like a rock star. I think their future is pretty bright at the moment.
Honorable mention for me, the Vancouver Canucks. Drafted a second-line two-way center. They've done some other things. They promoted Manny Malhotra, a former Jacket, from their AHL to be their head coach, and they drafted his son. Okay. So the fact that they drafted Caleb, who was a center with OHL's Brantford Bulldogs, and so, I mean, that's a pretty wild thing that they drafted his son.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. Honorable mention real quick. I hate to do it, but I got to do it because he's on my fantasy team and on TLC's Dinger team, Junior Caminero.
Yeah, I saw that.
This is getting silly. Every day, my phone was lighting up with this guy hitting home runs. He hit three last Thursday, one Friday, one Saturday, one Sunday. Junior Caminero's on a ridiculous heater.
He went from number four on my team to number one in 1 week.
We got to slow this man down, AR. He's fifth in the league
Schwarber
in home runs.
Schwarber did hit one for me, though.
First to 30.
I know.
this year is Kyle Schwarber.
It's going to be kind of a nice footnote in the whole thing that I may have the guy that leads, but I come in last. All right, we're going to have...
Floor's yours,
Floor's yours. 821-9710 is the number. Best call gets the Skyline gift card. That's next. Rothman
Terry.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Danberg. It took a rain delay in playoff hole, but Victor Hovland weathered the conditions to win the Travelers Championship this morning. He topped Scottie Scheffler, who missed a 4-foot birdie putt to force a second playoff hole. Next PGA Tour event is the John Deere Classic on Thursday. NBA per ESPN, Cavs guard James Harden is declining his $42.3 million player option to work on a new multi-year deal with Cleveland, where he averaged 20 points and 7 assists after last year's All-Star break. MLB Guardians host the Rangers at 7:10, while the Reds visit the Brewers at 7:40, which you can hear on The Fan after the Buckeye Show. Tennis, Wimbledon is underway from the All England Club. Defending champion and world number one, Jannik Sinner, came back from a set down twice to beat Miomir Kecmanovic in 5 sets. Get your calls into Ruffman and Ice, for the floor is yours right here on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
It's time for your calls on Ruffman and Ice. The floor is yours. Call the show right now, 614-821-9710. Whether you have a gripe,
I've never seen such incompetence,
or some praise,
you're the best voice in sports radio, man, and I really mean that.
The floor is yours.
Come on!
Sponsored by Window Nation. Buy 4 windows, get 4 free sale. Visit windownation.com now.
All right, caller of choice gets the Skyline gift card. By the way, they have chicken chili now, the same legendary Skyline taste you know and love. Now with a new protein option, try Skyline chicken chili on your Ways, Coney's, all your Skyline faves. Goes great on chili cheese fries and in Skyline Chilitos or Burritos. Available at participating Skyline locations. All right, TLC, line them up. Read them and weep.
All right, let's start with Kirk, who is in Chillicothe.
Captain?
Yes, sir.
All right, Kirk, your dime. Go for it, my man. The floor is yours.
Well, I'm getting sick of this transfer portal crap. And the paying the players to pay the millions that they're making. I think if they're going to do that, there ought to be a cap. And every position makes the same amount of money for any school. And I don't think you should be allowed to transfer just because you're not getting the playing time or don't like the coach or don't like the center or whatever. I think they need to come up with something to straighten it all out or it's going to ruin college football.
Boy, I'm you know what, I'm your old school like me. I originally thought that, you know, I was expecting back in the day maybe some proven starters to get a certain level. I don't know if you could pay everybody the same or a lot to every single position, because my feeling, Kirk, is if you're an upperclassman or a 2 to 3 year starter, you probably deserve a little more. Like the whole true freshman getting $1 million or the transfers, I'm with you. The whole system is out of order. I don't know if you could start over. You're not starting over, but the whole system seems crazy.
Yeah, man. There's definitely a wild, wild west feel to this. I think it's a tough sell to go into a guy like Jeremiah Smith and say, hey, you're going to make the same as an incoming true freshman with who you are, a player, how much work you've already put in. But I like Kirk's, you know, his thought process there of getting some structure into the world of NIL and all that, because it definitely feels needed. So I definitely agree with Kirk on that.
All right, who's up next?
Let's go next to New Albany and talk to Sean.
Sean, floor is yours, my man.
AR, man, I got to tell you, I know nothing's set in stone with this Zach thing. But, man, I know Ohio's, you know, motto is, you know, the heart of it all. It should be the feeders of them all.
Yeah.
You know, this is just sad, man. They have a $75 to $80 million, you know, payroll, and $25 million of it is, you know, they have room to spend some money. You know, I get a text message about every other day about renew my tickets. Why?
Sean, I hear exactly what you're saying, but let's be clear. This is not about money. Not with Zach.
It's not.
He's going to get massive money wherever he goes.
I understand, but it's almost like a family that's like cursed with cancer, right? We're just waiting for the next one to drop. You know, it's been 25 mm-hmm. to what, 27 years of this crap. It's just disappointing, but they still want our money, just like Ohio State. They still want our money, but you know, at least we have that warm blanket, as one of your other shows calls it. But man, it's just disappointing, guys.
It is, and I'm not going to steer you off that. It is very disappointing. I said it earlier. You draft him, you develop him. You don't want to be a farm system for the NHL. That's not what we're supposed to be. And it does stink. But winning cures a lot, and they just haven't done enough of it. Florida was an absolute garbage dump for a while. It was embarrassing to see how the lack of fans. And guess what happened? Billy Zito's done an amazing job down there, smoking mirrors, getting players, and the place is a juggernaut, and they'll be back. So I'm with you. And I'm not advocating for this, but sometimes if you really want to get it from the top down, the only way that things do change is if you had 10,000 a night for 41 nights.
Yeah.
That would open up some eyes. But this fan base is incredibly loyal.
They are absolutely incredible with their loyalty. Look, you can't help but feel for fans like Sean, right, who are financially invested. They go over there. They spend a bunch of time going over to that arena, cheering on the guys, and being let down for the most part. Like, that's been their experience. And so it's unfortunate when you are a team that can be tabbed as a smallish market team, right? Because the Jackets aren't the only team in small markets that run into this issue. A lot of Reds fans that I talk to that are like me are already bracing for what's coming with a guy like Ellie De La Cruz, because they're not going to re-sign. He already turned down $200 million. So when you're in certain states, certain cities around the country, this is unfortunately a part of the process, and it sucks. It really does. The Cleveland Guardians, when they were the Indians at the time, dealt with it with Francisco Lindor. Where did he end up? Big market in New York. Feeder system. There's a feel to that, and it's not great. And I think what it does is it puts a lot of pressure on teams in certain markets to really draft and develop at the highest of levels and have young and talent that is really, really good that can help you, and that is also fairly cheap, too.
Zach's a good dude. He's a good man. Yeah, 10 years, six straight no playoffs. Like, he's probably giving them at least the honest feeling that he has.
Yeah.
And that can only help them as far as getting value back. All right, who's up next?
Yeah, we got a few more here. Yep. Let's go to Westerville and talk to Scott.
Scott, the floor is yours.
Hey, I've heard someone float out there. Is it time for the Reds to get rid of Tito? What are we talking about? How quickly we forget that this is the time of year we'd like to start doing well. We don't need to do well in the first half. That's what the Reds of old years did. He can put them in position, I mean, as long as injuries shore up, to do better in the second half and maybe get to the playoffs and get to the second round at least, finally.
He's turned him around. He's a proven successful manager, Matty, but the question I would have for our resident Reds guy here is, has your manager lost his fastball?
I don't think he's lost his fastball. We saw him in the postseason last year, right? So he was a part of that. We have to give him that. Just watching the lineup day in and day out versus a lot of the other teams around the sport, they just don't have the dudes top to bottom. And you got a bullpen that's very, very dicey as well. Yes, Hunter Green's been down. Yes, Ellie has been down. And I know he just returned. But I think it's not a Tito issue for me. I think it's a lack of talent and consistency from the guys at play issue.
TLC?
Let's let the bull out the pen. Danny? Oh.
Danny in Delaware. Your dime, Danny your Delaware. Dance floor.
Happy Monday, boys. I apologize I wasn't there last week. I had to recover from another bender, but figured I'd switch it up today. No take today. We're going to have a little story time. So I got a group chat with some buddies, and we're scattered all across the country. And one guy in particular, well, for the sake of privacy, we're going to call him Country Club Carl. So Carl had a date this past Friday with a nice lady, and on the way home, back to her apartment, started feeling a little bubbly in the stomach. We all know that feeling, especially when you're on a date with a new girl. your stomach starts cramping, you get a little uncomfortable. So either way, they get back to their apartment. He gets out of the car thinking he's going to let out a little bit of air, and he poops his pants. So I was always told, never trust a fart after 40. He needs to realize that. So instead of getting back in the car and driving home, Carl went up to the one-bedroom, one-bath apartment, proceeds to go into the bathroom, take off them dirty drawers, and he throws them in her tiny trash can and buries the evidence in a pile of toilet paper. To put the cherry on top of this lovely story, this guy cleans himself up, goes out, and accomplishes what he came there to do. So, pat on the back for that. So my question to you is, do you reach out and tell her what happened and be honest? Do you go retrieve the undies the next day when you hang out, or do you act like nothing happened and hope for the best?
It's got to be the latter.
This is like a Seinfeld, but it's not trying to go change the tape in an answering machine.
You cannot tell on yourself in this
first
situation.
Of all,
cannot.
Eventually, the smell's going to tell the story. I don't think you're dampening that with some toilet paper. Like, first of all, I don't know how you would dispose the evidence. My feeling...
Did he spend the night?
This is what I would have done, Danny. Is he still on the line?
Did he spend the night?
He's still there.
Because if he spent the night, AR, is Danny back?
I'll put him back on. Here's what he needed to do.
He's back on.
He did spend the night.
All right.
He did.
He woke up the next day,
left like nothing happened.
All right.
You gotta get,
he needed to find a way.
He's back on hold.
To give an excuse once he got up there and took care of that business. Oh, I forgot something in my car. And he needed to take that thing down to the nearest dumpster.
They gotta get out of there.
Or some neighbor's garbage can. The fact that he disposed of it in her apartment in her garbage.
That's bad. That's
like,
bad.
That's not gonna just somehow make its way into the daily trash without her thinking what animal has gotten into the house. Or something's living under the porch.
The way I would have tried to play it is absolutely my goal is to get the drawers out of the house. I would have said, hey, you know what? I noticed your trash is a little full. Can I take your trash out for
that
you?
That may have been even more transparent.
No, like, I think that's brownie points. You get you're observant.
First
you're looking
date,
out for
you're
her.
Doing hey, house I just, household chores.
Just notice your trash is a little full.
You're up there to take care of business. We got do her laundry.
We got to do whatever we can to get those dirty drawers out of the crib.
That's fine. So I forgot my phone in the car. I'll be right back.
So I'm just thinking, either way, you play your card or I'm taking the trash out for you.
I want to make sure my car is locked.
You cannot stay there with the drawers in the trash overnight.
Do we need to trail this over into the next segment?
We got one more call.
Right, let's do that. Because that may have been, I want to believe that story to be true, but I have a million more questions. Rothman and I.
Fan has a secret radio station. It's called The Fan 2. You can listen to The Bob and Tom Show, Jim Rome, and Buckeye Stuff. Why do they pay me big money to whisper? The Fan 2 is on The Fan's HD2 channel and streaming on The Fan app. You're welcome. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We go into the final days of June with sunshine and heat. Temperatures today getting into the low 90s, and then for tonight, overnight lows into the upper 70s. For Tuesday, plenty of sunshine with highs in the mid-90s. However, the feels like we'll soar with that humidity into the triple digits, so make sure you're staying cool and drinking plenty of water. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
1, 2, 3! Here in The Fan, it's always football o'clock. Proud to be your home of the Buckeyes, Browns, and all the NFL games you can handle. The Fan. Like Yoda, Rothman will limp onto the golf course, talk about how stiff his back is, wonder how he can even make it through a hole, and then proceed to kick your ass. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
You know, we love Danny and the rest of the callers, but I started thinking, like, during the break, when you hear a crazy story or an off-the-wall story like that, I almost looked at you and said, this is why we stopped taking calls 5 years ago. And with a laugh. Like, not...
Wow.
Like,
not, coming no, off the top
no, they're that good, is what I mean, but they're that nuts. Like, it was like, I think a lot of... This is what makes the job... Then you become more therapist than analyst. And it was just... It was almost... I almost feel like you need to replay the call. like for the people that may have missed it. I don't.
I was gonna send it to the social.
You are, but do you have it now to replay? I don't know how you do that.
I could get it to you in like the next.
Can you roll back the DVR and?
I can roll that tape. Mm-hmm.
Or maybe we just paraphrase it. So he had a guy. I'll just paraphrase it. So he had a friend of his that was on a first date. I think did he say first date? She was on a date and on a started date. Getting some stomach issues.
I got it. If you want,
are you have it? All right, let's hear it.
All right, this may not be the cleanest starting point, but it'll get it done.
Boys, I apologize. I wasn't there last week. I had to recover.
Actually, that was very clean. Thank you.
But figured I'd switch it up today. No take today. We're gonna have a little story time. So I got a group chat with some buddies, and we're scattered all across the country. And one guy in particular, well, for the sake of privacy, we're going to call him Country Club Carl.
Spackler.
So Carl had a date this past Friday with a nice lady, and on the way home, back to her apartment, started feeling a little bubbly in the stomach. We all know that feeling, especially when you're on a date with a new girl. Your stomach starts cramping. You get a little uncomfortable. So either way, they get back to their apartment. He gets out of the car thinking he's going to let out a little bit of air, and he poops his pants. Mm. So I was always told, never trust a fart after 40. He needs to realize that. Mm. So instead of getting back in the car and driving home, Carl went up to the one-bedroom, one-bath apartment, proceeds to go into the bathroom, take off them dirty drawers, and he throws them in her tiny trash can and buries the evidence in a pile of toilet paper. To put the cherry on top of this lovely story, this guy cleans himself up, goes out, and accomplishes what he came there to do. So, pat on the back for that.
What, so, my question to
you is, do you reach out and tell her what happened and be honest? Do you go retrieve the undies the next day when you hang out? Yeah. Or do you act like nothing happened and hope for the best?
All right, I'm going to invent another option.
Don't.
The time for honesty was before you went up into the apartment. He said, oh, do you just tell her what? No, the time for honesty was, you know what? I'm having some stomach issues. I'm going to say goodnight because unless
but,
the...
However...
That's what I'm saying.
However, when you're in the headspace of knowing
you're not going
that you're
going
to reach home plate that night, I don't know if there's
rounding
a lot of...
third and heading for home?
There's a lot of people that are just chalking up a ground rule double. I think they're trying to see it through and complete the mission and get back to home plate like
that's
he did.
Fine, but I think your headspace is way out of the I'm touching home plate. It's I've got an urgent situation here, and everything else is playing second fiddle to that.
I think that's why you push through the way he did, because you feel good about the date and where it's going. Where I also think he
did he say that was a first date?
He just said a date.
It was but he made it sound like it was a new situation.
Either way, here's where I think he messed up too.
Real quick. Danny, was that a first date since you're still on hold? Oh, there he goes.
That's amazing.
Either way. He got busted for listening to his highlight reel.
Points off for the clean entry.
Here's where I think you messed up, too. Is that when you got the bubble guts, the way that his friend did, you can't force the issue and try to figure out what's going on. That's got to be a straight butt clench all the way to the toilet. You can't push and just hope that air comes out when you got the bubble guts. That's where he messed up out of the gate. You can't risk that.
Mean, that's a 50-50 lemon lime. I think you're taking a chance because when you're on hold, like, and you have a chance to let some air out of the balloon,
I feel like that
would have been a chance to do that. But certainly...
I'm not even taking the risk.
Well, he knows now. But
here's what I want to know.
I'm not hiding some game-used undergarments in her bathroom. That's
save insanity. It for the next date. Just be like, hey, I don't know, just walk into her door and then be like,
that's what I'm saying to you.
Just the time for
honesty, that might get you more points.
Fellas, here's what you're missing. He felt like he was going to accomplish the ultimate goal. Well, in the minds of some, that is. But in the minds of a lot of guys that I've met, that is not the ultimate goal. I think in that moment in time, you feel like you're about to cash in. You're not bailing on it.
No.
You're doing whatever you can like he did.
I think it's easy for you to say that now while you're not going through some excruciating stomach cramps. Like, I don't think your mind is thinking.
AR, that's why I'm saying you go through it all, and you're willing to have dirty drawers in our trash can because you're about to cash in.
But we're missing the big point, which is on an early relationship, no one is going number two in her apartment early on in the relationship.
Yeah, no, I'm not,
that's
no,
not happening.
Nobody's disagreeing with you.
A splash and go, fine, but not a full pit stop.
We're on the same page. I would never do that. I'm just trying to get in his mind as to why you go through all that. And I understand
fine,
why.
But that can't
you know
why?
Go all of
you know why?
That.
Because he has no intentions of going back.
Exactly.
Okay. Okay.
It's not a long-term thing.
That's what all this is revealing to me, is that he didn't want another date after that. Like, you're right, that was the ultimate
I mean,
goal.
There's not a trace of self-consciousness with this guy, Carl Spackler, if he's doing that in her place early on in the relationship. Like,
and
honestly.
Is it a relationship or is it just a date?
No, it's not. On in what he made
because
believe.
Because if it were, he would have just called it the night there and then done it the next night.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. This was a one-off.
But it sounds like he did.
Maybe he was in a bit of a slump and he was like, I got to get out of this
Can
slump.
Carl call in?
Oh my gosh. You guys. That's an incredible call. It's an incredible story.
Yeah, that's great.
I don't know if I'm buying it. Now, I agree with him. We've all been there where you're on a certain hold because you got some gas that's brewing. But usually that's probably on a couch during a movie. And you just got to get up and go to the bathroom and try to let some air out of the balloon. But this guy's going in for four tires and the car's going up on the jack and the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's discarding the bad tire. Like,
that's ridiculous.
And then he's not going outside to do that and say, hey, I got to run to my car for a minute. Like, eventually that's going to be found. That's what I'm saying. The evidence is not just going
to
magically find its way into...
You have to get it out of the house.
Of course you do.
You have to.
I'm shoehorning this in because I told him I'd do it.
Shoehorn.
David in New Albany, what's the worst date you've ever been on?
Oh, man, we ain't going to even go there. I got like six of those. I was just thinking about that. But listen, first of all, before I even get to anything, I want to say, AR...
Yeah, bud.
I've been watching you on TV, read all your articles since I've been here in Columbus, Ohio. You're phenomenal. Maddie, dude, you holding it down for the community, bruh. You that dude right there. But
Appreciate it, man.
No problem. And, hey, this channel I've been listening to every day since I've been here. I work in the service industry, so I fix people's houses. So I drive all around Columbus, all around Ohio daily. Which brings me to my point. Listen, I understand that Columbus is one of the fastest growing cities in America, and it is spectacular. See, I've watched the growth. I watched buildings come up, people's neighborhoods change. Because like I said, I fix houses all over this state. But what needs to happen on these roads, whether it's driving dry, driving wet, driving windy, driving hazy, driving with snow, driving, just spectating, looking at the police pull somebody over or an accident happens to happen. I think that there should be some type of reinvention on the driver's test. I think my own self that we should institute a driving mechanism in which you have to qualify to drive in seasons. Okay. I'm from Cleveland, Ohio, and we drive completely different up there because we know how to drive in the snow and the slush and the rain running from the side or up and down. Yeah. Here in Columbus, though, because it's such a growing city,
because we're so
and
far
there's
south,
so many international people who just don't understand the concept of climate and speed control and appropriate turn signals or even turn on the turn signal, please and thank you. How about this small thing? Drive the speed limit posted, please, because what you're going to do is cause an accident for everyone else, and that's what I've seen around this city and around the surrounding cities. Okay. And what is besides that, somebody please enforce driving with your phone in your hand. I drive in a truck. I see you all. I see the police do it sometimes, and I'm not going to call out some names, but I've seen the numbers many times. So what is going on with this city traffic and the new construction and all this grand stuff? And I get it. I love the change. However, can we please, for the sake of everyone else who's trying to drive responsibly and get to where they got to get to in timely fashion,
Hey, can we David, do something about a slow lane or a fast lane?
Hey, man. This is the greatest. I mean, this honestly.
He was cooking.
I
right
think
there.
We upgrade you. I think we give you the hothead catering.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for 20.
I mean, he just
call.
Brought up something that no one ever really thinks about. There are teams that sign players
David,
because they play better in the cold. Or a quarterback, right? We've talked about quarterbacks. That, like, just basically said, this whole 4 seasons and you're fine?
No.
Like, take your driving test in the middle of the summer in a perfectly dry day and all that? Like, he brought in, this is like Earl Woods throwing stuff at Tiger when and trying to distract
yeah.
him. What he's saying is we're distracting ourselves. And it's
you
time
qualify.
To shut her down.
You got
to shut
qualify.
It down now.
I'm here for it.
Yeah, some people can
call.
Only drive in a dome.
This is amazing.
And that's
I
what
mean,
the
I don't
floor
know if you guys
yours.
Want to co-sign that
no,
giveaway.
I'm in on
because
that.
Because I have a Hothead Burritos Catering, a package that feeds 20 people. He fixes houses all over Columbus.
And it sounds like he's inviting
he
you
He deserves
to.
It.
It's going
I didn't
him.
Hear my name. But
maybe we do get on 2 of the 8 of the 20.
Dan in Dublin, I need you next week, pal.
Who's getting the Skyline gift card?
That would be Sean in New Albany. We have a very New Albany bias
well,
this week.
Sean needed a little pick-me-up.
That's what the floor is yours is all about. You can call in and get your takes off on anything. Whatever's on your mind, we're here for you. That was tremendous. Tremendous stuff right there from everybody, top to bottom. Good stuff. Now, guess who gets to follow that call?
10TV's Adam King.
Adam's
Kingdom. Just because you've been birthed in the state, that doesn't give you an entitlement to like drive in all seasons. We need a 4 season, cold, wet, and hot. The Rothman and Ice seasons. He was on it. Well done. Back in 2 minutes, Rothman and
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door Showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
A perfect afternoon parlay. This is Rothman and Ice.
First of all, you have no idea what we just stepped into.
I have a pretty good idea, considering I've been doing it now for a year and a half. And I've stepped on a lot of things. I've stepped into a
the
lot of things.
The mantra I always have is...
Stepped on, too. I don't like spiders very much.
Me look either. Out
but
for...
don't say that around AR. He doesn't allow that here.
I don't.
You either. Don't allow stepping on spiders?
No, I don't... I mean, I don't like it.
He stopped me from stepping on a stink bug one time in a meeting.
Yeah. Well, that's because it stinks. That doesn't make you...
That's not why.
You take it outside and let it fly away.
That's not right.
Yeah.
Why are you the king? Why do you get to decide who lives and who dies?
Why does
what
a spy-
are you thumbs me- up, thumbs down kind of guy? What is this, gladiator?
Well, let me ask you this.
What, are you sitting up in the perch with a...
I guess he could ask you the same question.
Why do you get to decide?
Mine's the one.
He just says, let him live.
Yeah.
Mine is, I pay rent on this household. Okay. You don't. Get the heck out of here one way or another. And you know what? And then they start setting up their own little home in your window. This is my house.
That's a problem, AR.
This is my home.
It's just a natural instinct, I think, for a lot of people to squash them.
I understand.
You know? All the bugs in your home, you carry them outside?
I tried the best to do that.
Oh, okay.
The ones that are tough are the long centipede-looking things.
Yeah,
those
you
are the
kill
rough
it
ones.
Right there.
When I do go into the smother mode, I don't go into squash mode.
Oh.
It's more of a smother and grab and then walk out and release.
Oh,
smother.
That's so sweet.
By the way.
So you think that while it's dying, it's like, well, this Rothman was...
He didn't
squash me. He just smothered. It was
do
like
the
a
best
big,
I can.
It was like a big hug from AR as I got smashed into his wall. And left.
I guess that's my question.
Smashed.
Are they they're alive after the smothering?
It's not a smother. It's a cover.
They started as a centipede. Cover, now they only have 50 legs, thanks to AR. But they're out there.
Look out for number one. But don't step in number two.
That's right.
All right. And that's what you just stepped into here.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm buying this. And if I am buying it, it's because I don't know the person. So I don't know what this person's capable of. And like these guys said, it may have been not care, a one and done. It may have been that kind of deal, and then it's no big deal. But I'm sure in the past you went on several dates, and maybe they all weren't great or they were good.
Yeah.
But do you ever remember going on a date or being with someone when you're having some stomach issues?
I mean, yes. Yeah, I think everybody's experienced that.
So what's the natural thing to do at that point?
You excuse yourself and go. Well, so it's an interesting world, depending on how many dates this is. Are we saying first date?
Just close a date.
Yeah, no, okay. But early on, very early on. Yeah.
Are we at someone's apartment or are we like in a public place?
About to make the decision to either go up into the apartment or pull ripcord and leave.
That's why you've got to make it your place. Because I'm not going into 100%. Your place. I'm not. If I've got stomach issues, we're going back to my
place.
You're
not playing a road game.
No, I'm
early
not.
Early on in the season.
Not 100%. Yeah. I'm going into that environment. I don't know the environment. I don't know where the sprays are. I don't know. I mean, what if they don't have a fan? What if this is, disaster.
So here's what happened. We had a caller call in, a buddy of his.
Not just a caller.
Went on a date.
The caller.
He was going back to her place. As he was exiting the vehicle, he had the bubble guts at the time.
Uh-oh.
He thought he could let out a little air.
Oh.
It wasn't air that he let out. He goes up to the bathroom to fully let everything, fully release.
No.
And he disposes of the draws in her trash can.
No!
The game-used uniform.
No!
Stayed there overnight.
No!
That's what this guy did.
You blocked this guy's number?
No, this is one
He's a mess!
Want this guy to call in.
Bring your broom, because it's a mess. Couple things.
Good catch.
Two things, if you will. One, you cannot, under any circumstances, ever remove those pants without a shower following. There is no world where I don't care what is going on.
I said the same
thing. What if there were dude wipes in the bathroom?
Why would she have those? She has dude wipes in the bathroom, run.
Yeah.
And number two,
she's Gold Bond.
Why don't you just talk up while you're there?
Is she working at a country club?
Underestimating TLC.
Full amenities.
Yes. Yes.
He's called Country Club Carl.
I think you guys are underestimating how the desire to reach home plate in this. That's what I understand. It's a complete foul.
That is, you don't understand. We're gonna take this two ways. We're gonna assume that this person really likes this person.
That's a bad assumption.
Okay. We're going to assume that this person likes this person. They're trying to build a future. They're trying to build a home. The only reaction is, what? So I am to believe that this man did that.
Left the drawers in the trash can.
And then
stayed the night.
Without a shower.
This is not the cute story you tell at the wedding in 5 years.
I agree. Mortified.
AR and I said you have to do everything in your power to get that out of there.
Here's the easiest thing to do. If you are going to use the bathroom, which I wouldn't have recommended, I would have told her right as I dropped her off. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not feeling so hot right now. I think it's best that I probably just let you out. I'll call you later, and I'm going to head out. You get right back in that car. You risk that she views that as some sort of weird rejection, which is not. But instead of going up into the apartment. Or if you are going to go up to the apartment and go for a full pit stop, then you come out and say, I forgot my phone in the car. I'll be right back. And then you discard of those somewhere. You don't leave them in there.
I think, I'm going to be honest, there's only so many ways this goes. And that guy chose wrong at every turn. I mean, it's Indiana Jones.
But here's the deal. You're not playing results. He got the results he came for.
But. I'm just saying, you said it worse.
It doesn't. Not for him. It turns out to be one of the greatest upsets in night baseball history.
The only part that's bad for me in this is leaving the draws there. That's the only part that's bad
for me. But you know what? You say he got the results. He got the win. He was only
looking for one win, apparently.
But you tell that story to your buddies, and you're like, it's a big win. And I think your buddies look at you differently. I think your mother looks at you differently.
You don't tell your mom.
Mom's not getting that story.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I think that everybody in your life, whether they know it or not, you now have a different shape. You're the guy that left poop underwear at someone's house.
Some people may look at that person and say, you're committed. Dedicated.
Committed to
You're a what? Guy that's willing to do whatever it takes to get the win. And that's how I'm looking at it.
Some people might say that dude's got so much motion that he can overcome anything to get in a girl's bed.
Whatever it takes. That's awesome, man.
You don't like winners, AK?
That's awesome.
I don't like guys that just quit.
Listen.
You like players that if they're feeling a little banged up, they can't
not go. Gonna play.
Mike Singletary couldn't coach you.
You thinking this is Jordan's flu game? Is that what you're calling this?
Apparently.
And he left the sweat rag that was around his head in the trash can and went and played?
Yeah.
That is awful.
This may be worse than a flu. This may be better than a flu.
Cannot win with him. Yeah. Cannot coach with him. Can't do it.
I mean,
I want winners.
I'm with Country Club Carl.
Maddie's signing this guy to a long-term deal.
He made a mistake. You know what? I can assure you of one thing. That man is not getting a long-term deal with anyone because there's no... Get the man back on the phone. Did he have a second date?
Friend.
If he had a second date...
We can find that out.
I will applaud him for days. But there is no world where a woman is walking into her bathroom, finding those drawers in her toilet and in her trash can and going, I got to call this guy.
I'm telling you, this is one of the great victories of all time.
He didn't want to call back.
And when he's coming out of the, bathroom... And he knows that it's on. All I hear is
the ball is tipped.
It's time.
The toilet's flushed. The drawers are in the trash. I'm gonna seal the deal.
And he did. I want those players in my organization.
Never listen to one shining moment the same. All righty.
We have another question for you.
Okay.
All right. Now you've weighed in on that.
Yes.
You'll get the next one.
After the break,
the old days when football used to have an offseason, well, we at the Fan think that really sucked. That's why we bring you Austin and Berm, America's number one resource for Buckeye football conversation, is voted by Fake Surveys Incorporated. Catch their daily podcast called The Beat and their breaking news podcast, Snap Judgments, as they broadcast live from Roosters on Mondays, and they come right to your house and massage your tender areas. Ooh. They'll do it all. Austin and Berm on the Fan's YouTube channel and 10TV Plus. Morning Juice is now on YouTube, weekday morning starting at 6. If you're a fan of Bobby Carpenter, he's ready to attack and dominate. If you're a fan of Jeff Gutoff, drive directly to a hospital. Seriously, The Fan.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
The best bet on the radio. This is Rothman and Ice.
10TV's Adam King in studio with us, as he always is on this day. So, I do want to ask you this. Being in the media, Jacket fans are clearly in a very interesting phase right now emotionally. I don't think you can blame the national media. Because my point is, if anybody like started this and there was nothing to it, I think Don would be out there saying, there's nothing to it. There's nothing here. And he hasn't been that. So I don't understand where the real anger is towards the national media that they lit the fuse on this and it's all their fault. Like, Zach's not deciding anything based on anything the media would have to say.
I think it's twofold. One, I think you're spot on with what you said about Waddell, because what was that? Would have been Thursday he spoke at his press conference and he took the mic, and that was the first question he was asked. And with his answer, I said, well, that was not what you want to hear if you're a Jackets fan. You're not mad at the national media for doing their job. I do think that this has grown in such a way that has almost put the Blue Jackets in a disadvantage in trade markets, which I think
there's no disadvantage. You have a Norris Trophy Award winner for sale with 2 years left at a 9.85 cap hit. He is as high value as anybody you'll ever have. Nothing that's being said is ruining that.
Well, but then you're another GM that's sitting there on the phone with Waddell and you're saying, Don, I know this guy doesn't want to play for you. You know this guy doesn't want to play for you, or at least that's what's being reported. Let's make this deal. You almost feel backed in a corner, which is to say, I don't think they should trade him.
He can't go anywhere.
He can't.
He can go anywhere he wants. They can't trade him anywhere. He has a no move clause.
No. I understand. And that's why this isn't a stereotypical trade where it's, you know, okay, you got the deal done. You got the deal done. Shake hands, call it a day. You have to go back to Zach and say, is this where you want to take your family and live long term? And that's a whole other ballgame. I think right now, simply put, let the cards go for a little bit.
You're saying just revisit this next year?
I'm saying the man is a Norris Trophy winner, and Zach Werenski is a competitor. He's not going to sit out this year. He's not going to take time off on the ice. If I'm Don Waddell, this is a major, major, major moment in the franchise's history. Because
you're saying you think you can win him back?
I think you can win him back.
How?
By winning.
And you feel like they're ready to do that at what level next year?
I think they have to go show him right now.
I'm with you on that.
That is the only way this works, because Zach loves Columbus. Zach doesn't like being in an organization where it feels like
where you're always watching the playoffs with us.
Just won a gold medal. He just was at the pinnacle
of
the sport.
My question is, you think that's going to happen in 1 year?
No, I think if you're Don Waddell, you either are at a crossroads right now, where if you trade Zach Werenski, the future of the franchise has never been more in question. What are you looking at? What is the expectation?
Well, you're going to get three nice pieces back with a pick, probably.
Three nice pieces. I mean, is that...
I'm not saying you're replacing him specifically, but he's... If this is going down the road, I was with you last week when I said this is a show me year. If there's a lot of ifs in this organization, including who's going to be coaching him next year. They got a head coach on a 1 year. He doesn't even know that. He also doesn't know where they're going to be as an organization next year. And if you're telling me that just making the postseason might change his mind, what you're gambling there is that another team trading for him would have 2 years, not just one. Yeah. And that's the difference in a little bit on value, is they'd have control over him for at least a year and a half up this season and up until the deadline for it. So I'm with Maddie a little bit on it. If you know 100% you can't win him back, and that's what Don's trying to find out. And I'm not saying Zach's telling him 100%, I'm not, but he knows it's not going the right direction.
It sounds from everything 99.9% that he does not want to play here. I mean, at any moment, this train going off the tracks could have been put to a halt by quite a few people, and it is not. I'm saying that at the end of the day, you are the general manager of the Columbus Blue Jackets. You have to look out for the Columbus Blue Jackets. And so often in sports, we focus on, is this guy happy? Well, you know what would make him happy? Is if you went out and got him an absolutely massive piece that he thinks could help this team win.
Let me ask you this, AK. You know, wanting it and getting it are two different things. Who are you trading to get this massive piece?
I'm not a GM.
Let me ask you this.
But then that's just maybe a pipe dream.
Maybe you go out there and shop around Marchenko and see what you could get for Marchenko to bring.
I don't understand, but now you're getting rid of your leading goal scorer the last 3 years.
Okay, well, I don't know what to tell you, but I don't think that the obvious answer is, because I know how this ends, I guess, is why I'm frustrated.
If improving the team was that easy in this massive piece you're talking about, then...
I don't even think it's a massive piece. I think it's the missing piece. Massive was an overstatement.
So you think the Jackets are one piece away?
One game away last year, and they lost 15 in their last 20.
I think sometimes when you're the GM, this obviously sucks, right? Like, this sucks. We all can admit that, but I think... In situations like this, when you have the asset that they have in Z, you can do some good for yourself by moving on from a piece like this. Even though, when you're where your feet are at the time, doesn't feel good. Like the Browns, they're going through this right now. The same thing.
I don't think... Here's the problem. If somebody knocks on your door and says, we'll trade you straight up Connor McDavid for Zach Werenski... Shake your hand and say, all right, but what I'm saying in that regard is, that is, okay, yep, we got it. But until that's the knock at your door, you're losing this trade, and you're going to lose it in a major way.
I understand.
Because
let him walk to free agency, though. You can't get that close.
And that's not going to feel better than this.
That's Marner out of Toronto. That's a problem.
That feels way worse than this.
So I guess... If you
this is different than keeping Panarin and Bobrovsky because you think you could win a cup.
If you trade him for three, like, I hate the you guys are fantasy football guys.
Yeah.
How many times do people send you a 3-for-1 trade? And you're like, just because they're three players doesn't make them worth Justin Jefferson. 3-for-1s never work. It's got to be a 1-for-1, or at the end of the day, Don Waddell, like, the question marks are only going to grow.
So what you're saying is, if you were Don, you would roll the dice.
Yes.
And get him to his free agent year and just hope that he runs it back again. That's the risk you would take.
I understand that you lose a lot of value.
And you risk injury. And he'll be a year older.
Anything else?
Go ahead. Just want to make sure we're all aware of everything.
But right now, all you have is the season that's upcoming. You have a coach that's obviously come back for his first full year that clearly has come back to because he wants to make a push in the playoffs. You have the Norris Trophy winner. You have so much talent on this team. Blowing it up now. I mean, at that point, if you send Werenski away for three okay or even good pieces, then what's Fantilli doing here? What are we doing?
AK,
what's
I hear the what next you're 5 years? About the immediate future, yes. Maybe in his mind, but what about the past?
He's been here 10 years.
What about the past?
He's put in his time. He's a loyal guy. I mean, 10 years.
He loves Columbus.
I think that's the other part of it, too. I think it's the past that's an anchor for him in this, and that's weighing on him.
He's in the back end of his prime. His window's going to close. He doesn't feel confident. There's a lot of instability around the organization.
He's Miles Garrett on the Blue Jackets.
That's what I've been saying. I think it's...
He might even be a little closer, because the Jackets are actually a little closer to making the postseason than the Browns.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. And why did the Browns trade Miles Garrett? Because they heard about your and I's bet. And they said,
oh, that is
painful. They said, let me tell you something. We're not going
to
win.
God, I want them to win six.
Good luck on that there, Chief.
All right. It's good to see you. We think there should be, not us, but David, our caller, thinks there should be a three-season driving test in Ohio.
Three-season driving test.
Yeah, you shouldn't just be able to pass, get your driver's license on a beautiful, sunny, dry day.
Ooh. Do you think you get more leeway if you do your driving test during a pouring rainstorm?
I would hope.
You need to hit certain thresholds of being competent.
But I mean, if you blow a stop sign in the pouring rain, do you think you're...
Okay. No, I'm not talking about committing a moving violation. Okay. I'm talking about just being able to handle a car. All right. Good to see you, my man.
Rothman and I saw on the...
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Danberg. A Florida judge found probable cause for Lions corner Terrion Arnold to face charges of armed robbery and kidnapping, but denied motion to be held without bond today. The court set $1 million bond and will not impose an ankle bracelet for Arnold, who's now clear to participate in Detroit's training camp. Baseball, two first-place teams battling Cleveland tonight as the Guardians host the Rangers at 7:10. Texas leads the AL West while Cleveland's tied with Chicago for first in the Central. Tyler Alexander starts for the Rangers against Parker Messick for the Guards. For the Elias Sports Bureau, Alexander is the first pitcher to record saves in consecutive team games that start the next day. Reds visit the Brewers at 7:40, which can be heard on The Fan. Cincy's Nick Lodolo faces Milwaukee's Robert Gasser. Then in the World Cup, round of 32 knockout round, Japan leads Brazil 1-0 at halftime. Up next, Germany and Paraguay at 4:30, the Netherlands and Morocco at 9. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Most shows just skim the surface, but Rothman and I feel like the biggest story of the day deserves a closer look. It's time for A Deeper Dive.
Sponsored by Orthopedic One, Central Ohio's most trusted orthopedic practice. Find a physician or location near you at orthopedicone.com.
All right, the biggest story of the last week is that potentially there is a Norris Trophy winner for sale in Columbus, Ohio. And a runner-up a year ago. And with 2 years left on his deal and a cap hit of 985. And somebody that would certainly immediately change any outlook for any team that gets him. Now, it's not done, and I don't even know if there's a list that's been given to the Jackets. It feels like it's heading that direction. Z's got a no-movement clause, so he would have to do that. And it would also benefit the club to know now versus a year from now or up until the deadline of next season or whatever it may be. So that's why teams want to try to get ahead of this. They don't want a Mitch Marner situation, and he's too valuable, and he's in his prime, and we know what he means to us, and we certainly know what he could mean to another team. So with that being said, we bring on our friend Sean McKindu from The Athletic, and who covers a lot of this and also is on the Puck Soup podcast. And Sean, we welcome you back. Thanks for making the time.
Hey, thank you for having me.
So what do you believe? What do you believe is going on right now from a national perspective? Because I could give you a taste of it here. We've had Don Waddell on the program. Even last Thursday we had him on. And it was vague, but he did not reassure us, and he couldn't put out the smoke completely.
Yeah, and there is a ton of smoke. And it is not always true that where there's smoke, there's fire in the NHL, because we've been down the road of there being speculation about guys moving and this and that, and then it just doesn't happen. But this feels like we've reached a point where it would be very surprising if some sort of trade wasn't coming, and it sounds like probably coming at some point this summer. The timing is really interesting here because typically when you have a move like this, you'd want to get it done before the draft, because then you know not only are you getting to use any picks that you get in advance, but you know where they are, and you get to use them a year earlier and all of that. Whereas Don Waddell pretty much intentionally said, we're going to do this after the draft. We're even going to have the conversations after the draft, which strongly implies that if any move is going to get made, it's not something where Don Waddell is thinking about what draft picks can I get? How can I rebuild for the future? He's looking to make it clear to teams, you're going to give up somebody or multiple somebodies off the roster who are going to come into Columbus and play right away. We're not looking to do a stripped-down rebuild here.
So, Sean, when you look at the potential suitors in this, teams that are going to be in the mix to acquire Z, is there a team or teams that you look at and saying that would be good business for the Jackets? Pairing up with them, they have good players, good assets to offer. Who are maybe a team or two for you in your mind that would be a good partner here for the CBJ to lock in with?
Yeah, that's where it does get a little bit tricky, right? Because we don't know, as you said, what the list looks like. There has to be some sort of a list, and maybe it's an informal one. It doesn't have to get nailed down at this point. Maybe Zach Werenski gives the team some guidance about what sort of team he's looking for. But at the end of the day, even if you put aside the question of the no trade clause, the no movement clause, nobody's going to give you the sort of package the Blue Jackets will rightfully be demanding here, unless they feel like they're getting Zach Werenski for the long term. I don't think a couple years is going to do it. Certainly, I think when you look at teams, there's a couple of different angles. There's the contenders right now, which is typically you think Florida, Tampa, Vegas, all those teams that these stars seem to want to go to. I don't see any of them necessarily having the mix of assets to get it done necessarily. Now, some teams surprise us, and the Panthers especially are a team that are known to say, you know what, if a guy's out there, we're going to go and we're going to make a big offer, and maybe it'll involve names that you don't even expect to be available. So, that's a possibility. Certainly, you're taking that phone call if you're Don Waddell. But of the contenders, the one that jumps out to me more than any, I think, is Carolina, because that is a team that we have seen they are willing to be aggressive. They are willing to really take big swings on guys. They are willing to kind of bet a little bit on the culture and that they can bring someone in. And they're willing to pivot, like we saw with Mikko Rantanen, where it didn't work out. And, okay, they moved on to the next thing. I think that's an obvious one. Obviously, the downside there, like with a few of these teams, you're trading them within the division. So, that's not a great look, but maybe that's what you have to do. The other team that does intrigue me a little bit here is the San Jose Sharks. You talk about having future assets to work with, and I'm not talking picks even necessarily, but players ready to step in. Nobody's got more than the Sharks. So I don't know that we've ever seen a team as this loaded with picks and prospects and future pieces. Does that work for Columbus? Not necessarily, but you would think that you could probably get it to a place if San Jose is willing to take that big swing right now, and maybe they're not. But we know Carolina would be, and because they always seem to be in the market for that. So maybe that's the team that you look at and you say they've got some stuff here that maybe helps us. Do they want to help us that much given they're in the division? Well, to get a guy like Zach Werenski, they probably do.
Good insight from Sean McKendo of The Athletic and Puck Soup Podcast here on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. This is more than a coincidence, right? USA wins gold for the first time since 1980. They're all together. They pull off the unthinkable, and they get it done, and Zach's a big part of that. But it seems like this is like the Team USA alum or USA hockey alum that are all kind of looking for a way out or looking to win is probably a better way to say it. All the cool kids are doing it, Sean. It feels like it's just more than a coincidence.
Yeah, it's definitely more than a coincidence, and you know, more than a few people have said in a somewhat tongue-in-cheek manner that wouldn't you love to get get in on that group chat that team must have going, because there's clearly some lobbying here. Yeah, I mean, we've seen Brady Tkachuk moved already. Zach Werenski is starting to feel inevitable. Dylan Larkin, we're told, wants out. We're not as sure on Connor Hellebuck, although there's a lot of dots starting to connect there. And, you know, it feels like a few months ago we were all talking about Austin Matthews, and now he's moved down fifth or sixth on the list of American players looking to move. And it does seem like it's the same destinations coming up. Look, a lot of these guys are our friends. A lot of these guys came up, developed together, you know, from kids on up through some of the various American development programs. So you can understand it. You can understand why somebody would get a little taste of winning and say, you know, I want a bit more of this. Now, if you're a Zach Werenski or a Dylan Larkin or a guy or Brady Tkachuk, who is the captain of a team, do you say, you know what, I really want to win, so I'm going to do everything I can do to win for the team that I'm on, and I'm going to go out and I'm going to recruit, and I'm going to try to bring better players into town, and I'm going to be the leader here and try to build a winner around me? Or do you say, you know what, I want to win, but I don't want to do the hard stuff that might be involved in that, or maybe I don't feel like I can get there with this organization, so you know what, get me out of here, parachute me into some team. Maybe I won't be the big star anymore. Maybe I'll be two or three or four, but that's fine with me. I just want to win. And that's where you get that sort of, we all love winners in the pro sports world, but you're supposed to want to win where you are. And when you see players with an eye on the door, then it kind of comes down to, okay, well, is there something here with the organization, with the situation, where they need to get out, because we've certainly seen that? Or is this a case of a guy pulling the chute a little early when he's supposed to be the guy, he's supposed to be the captain, the last one off the ship, he's supposed to be the one trying to make it happen here? And I can probably guess where Columbus fans are thinking right now, because it's enormously frustrating when the guy who's supposed to be your leader puts his hand up and says, you know what, maybe I don't want to be here anymore.
Yeah, and he hasn't done it publicly, and Don Waddell has not said that publicly he has requested a trade, but just feels like there's so much going on behind the scenes that he can't extinguish right now. Sean, this was great. Thanks for hopping on, man. We know you're on the case, and we'll ring you back soon. Thanks, bud.
Right on. Thank you.
Yep. Sean McKendo of The Athletic, Puck Soup Podcast. Yeah, it's one of those things that it's funny that he used the word captain. You know, it kind of felt like that's where it was trending here. And
yeah,
it's...
No doubt. Yeah,
that's the odd part. And I think that, I don't know whether we were lulled into it, but it was, he had such an incredible year outside of that. He was on the outside of the playoffs, and to win gold and to win the Norris and to become a father. And it just felt like part of it was that, oh yeah, we forgot his own team is not giving him the same feeling that all the other stuff has, maybe.
And all right, well, but wait, we'll watch on it.
Yeah.
Can I break some news? Country Club Carl is joining us at 1 tomorrow.
That's amazing. The Country Club
Carl. The Country Club Carl.
Carl Spackler is going to, so we get to put him, this is maybe the greatest press conference that ever happened.
Exactly what's taking place.
I can't wait.
Oh, in studio?
No, that'd be awesome, but no. We're trying to protect his anonymity.
Oh, that's right.
I don't know his real name. Yeah. I don't want to know his real name.
Country Club Carl,
Country Club Carl.
Yeah, for me now, he's Carl Spackler.
And so with his anonymity protected, he has agreed to join the show at 1 o'clock tomorrow.
You know what he is, TLC? Awesome.
He's a Cinderella story.
He really is.
Life's a gamble.
He is unbelievable.
And he took a gamble, and I bet he cashed
it. You know what? Life's a gamble. Let's take it.
That's right, Thurman. Absolutely.
I can't wait. That'll be fun.
All right.
That'll be
fun. We'll come back and find out why this guy keeps getting tossed around all the time in not good enough kind of deal. Why was that funny? Rothman and I.
Bishop and Friends.
You felt confident in that one because you've always had a very elite ability to mount men dating back to your time at DeSales.
There's nothing wrong with wrestling.
Bishop and Friends, sponsored by Diamond Seller.
Weekdays from 9 to noon on The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We go into the final days of June with sunshine and heat. Temperatures today getting into the low 90s and then for tonight, overnight lows into the upper 70s. For Tuesday, plenty of sunshine with highs in the mid-90s. However, the feels like we'll soar with that humidity into the triple digits, so make sure you're staying cool and drinking plenty of water. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
All the Ohio State conversation you can handle. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
Your Ohio State flagship station. The Fan. Rockman and Ice present Pre-Snap Reads.
Sponsored by Dr. Mark Levy. If you're snoring and not sleeping, call Dr. Mark Levy today at 1-800-MORE-SLEEP.
He's one of those quarterbacks that you can win with. And I've always asked the question, can you win a Super Bowl with this guy? Put the right talent around him. Now, I'm not saying that he could carry a team to a Super Bowl. And I don't even know, outside of Mahomes.
He can't even do it, AR. We saw with our own eyes.
He can't do it all the time. But he can right a lot of wrongs, though.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, by themselves.
Against but. Tampa and Philly, we've seen twice that he's the all. He's the best quarterback in the sport, in the minds of a lot of people. But when he didn't have protection, he couldn't be that guy. So that's all I'm saying.
That's probably with anybody.
Yeah.
And when there's quite a mismatch between an O-line and a D-line, then I don't care what quarterback you are.
That's it.
But he's a little more in the category of you think you got him and you don't. And Mahomes can hurt you that way. Now we'll see what he is coming off the ACL. But he's not even the guy I'm talking about. It's Jalen Hurts. Statistically, he's not a top 10 quarterback. He just isn't really. Now, he has running ability. I get that.
Yeah.
But as far as like passing yards and the way the offense runs through him or around him, they've been a defensive team. They've had some moments, and he's been incredible
in two Super Bowls.
Big moments. And though, but he still gets that. He still gets the treatment of that he's not a top guy.
I think he's an incomplete quarterback, but he's good enough to take you where you need to go if you have the proper things around him. I think there is a handful of aircraft carriers at the position right now in the NFL in my mind. I don't think Jalen Hurts is one of them, but that's okay with the way that Philadelphia has constructed rosters over the last few years under Howie Roseman's watch. Now, this is going to be the ultimate test, I think, for Jalen Hurts this season without A.J. Brown. I do think Devonta Smith's going to step up and show that he can be a number one in this sport. But until we see that, that's a question mark. And so I think for their offense this year, there's definitely going to be a lot of questions for them to answer. But if they get an incredible or really good year out of Saquon, I think that can go a long way for Jalen Hurts. Because 2 years ago, that's what happened. And their offense was more than a handful to deal with. But I agree with that, Aaron, that it feels like Jalen Hurts is just on the outside of the top 10 looking in. Feels appropriate right now without looking at a list of guys.
I would say this, in this era, he's probably a bargain as a $50 million guy.
Yeah.
That's where I go with it because I can't tell you, there's no way that some of these guys are getting what they're getting. Like, it's crazy to me.
It's timing. It's great timing for those guys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think if you are caught up in, if you really enjoy true traditional pocket passer type of quarterback, Jalen Hurts is not going to be your guy. If you're looking at it through that lens, if you're looking at it through a different lens of he is balanced in both and good enough in both to get by, then I think you can see the best of Jalen
Hurts. That's Trevor Lawrence. That's Jordan Love. That's those guys.
Really good players.
Really good players. Yeah. They can run. They can move. They can hurt you.
Yeah.
But they're not $55 million a year quarterbacks. They are in this league. They have to be.
Mm-hmm.
So they're that good, but it's odd to me. But anyway, Dan Orlovsky was taking up for Jalen Hurts.
What is your take on Jalen Hurts? Your honest take.
The facts and the opinions just don't match up. The fact is, since he's become the starter, obviously two Super Bowls, win one, probably the best player in both of those games. I think he's top five or top seven in mainly all the statistical categories.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that's the facts.
Mm-hmm.
But the opinion is, or the opinion of a lot, I would probably be in this camp, is that there are times when the passing game and the pass element is lacking. Mm-hmm. And so that's a very interesting kind of balance, is if we were going to take Jalen with all 32 starting quarterbacks and just put him on a field and just had him throw, which is the basic premise of the position, mm-hmm. he wouldn't be in your top 16. I don't think he would be in a lot of people's top 16. But all he's done is win. All he's done is play huge and big moments. And so, like, my take on him is, I think it's silly to not have him as a top 10 player at the position because of the accomplishments.
So the reason this popped up is not just that everyone was bored and they thought, all right, let's discuss Jalen Hurts. It was that CBS Sports put out, I think it was Pete Prisco individually, put out a ranking of top quarterbacks. And he believes that there were 16 quarterbacks ahead of Jalen Hurts in his top 100 rankings of players. In fact, I think he had him ranked 84th as far as, like, so. Okay. And he led them to a Super Bowl, and he did throw 25 touchdown passes. But he wasn't as good at running the ball.
I was going to ask you, Aaron, do you know how many rushing? You have that in front of you?
I do.
2 years ago, I think it was crazy with all the tush pushes that he got. Because you had him in fantasy, I believe, 2 years ago, right?
Yes, I had him.
And so
I had a lot of players.
What did the rushing numbers look like last year?
So you must have won, right? Must have won.
He ain't right. He ain't right.
It's really...
That's just wrong.
Honestly...
Do that to you, AR.
It's a minor miracle that everyone was able to win this thing without my team being involved. Like, I've been in the championship. Like, I don't understand.
Oh, man. I had
Barkley the year that I tapped him. Bowers. Any tight end that's had a career year.
You've been doing some good GMing, brother.
Awful.
You have. We just got to get
your team.
What do
you want to know about rushing touchdowns?
I would like to know over the last 2 to 3 years.
Why don't you just tell me?
Rushing touchdowns have looked like.
He had 8 last year. 14 the year before, 15 the year before that, 13 the year before that.
Okay.
Now, a lot of those are somebody got tackled at the 2 yard line or whatever.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy how fortunate he was in that situation. But, God, I guess when Dan said that there's maybe 15 to 16 quarterbacks better than him,
he didn't think so.
Or that some people think that. Yeah.
I think he's a hard worker. I don't think he's the most talented guy. No, but he's a gamer.
I guess
he's tough.
I guess the physical question for me, AR, is would you rather have going into this season Sam Darnold or Jalen Hurts?
Huh. I'd rather have Jalen.
More options?
Yeah, I just think there's more to count. I just have a higher floor.
Yeah.
But Sam was incredible.
Yeah, he was.
He had a great receiver. I mean, Sam threw a lot of picks.
Yes, he did. He had, like, 12, I think, last
14.
Year? Yeah, okay. Yeah, I remember it being pretty high.
But he had a great year, and I'm not going to take anything away from him. He's not a great team, but he answered the ultimate question. Can you win a Super Bowl with him? The answer to that is yes now.
Sam Darnold.
And right? I think if we ran that poll a year, let's say we ran that poll a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
Can you win a Super Bowl with Sam Darnold? I think no is 85%.
Do you now view Sam Darnold as an aircraft carrier?
No.
Okay.
But that's okay.
And that's what I'm saying. With where he is on
that
team.
Do you view Jared Goff as an aircraft carrier? Dak Prescott?
I think Dak can be.
I mean, you're talking about two of the statistically the best quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yeah. Yeah.
So... I mean, it's a team game. It's an ultimate team game. They got to be good enough, unless you have a Ravens defense the year that, you know.
Like we talked about off the top, it doesn't matter if you're Joe Montana, Tom Brady, Brett Favre, all the way down.
Bro Montana.
You got to have dudes with you. You just have to.
Team game. It's the ultimate team game.
All of the guys that we listed have played, or that I just listed, have played with really good players to Hall of Fame players. And they cashed in when they had those guys. And so for Jalen Hurts, he's already done that. He's already cashed in a Super Bowl, been to another, but like Dan Orlovsky said, he's just not fully complete just yet. And I think he's young enough to where he can still figure it out, but there's definitely a feel sometimes when you watch him that he leaves too much meat on the bone. But he can go. He's a really good quarterback.
All right, we'll come back in 2 minutes, and we'll stay with the NFL. And this guy was once considered the best in the game, and now he's fighting for his life. You'll hear it in 2 minutes. Rothman and I.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Anthony sometimes likes to sit and stare at his bundle of Emmy Awards. Unfortunately, it's through the glass of the pawn shop. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
This is a rough one. Not going to lie, this is tough. We had the pleasure of sitting down with Chris Johnson, who was in my mind right before I got to the Fan. So this was more like, I think it was 2009 is the year I'm thinking of. And yards from scrimmage, I think he led the league. And a lot of people thought he was the best running back in the game. And when you start stacking him up against guys like CMC and LaDainian Tomlinson and all-purpose running backs, and he was one of them. And we had a chance to sit with him on Radio Row. Now, this would have been in Vegas 2 years ago, correct?
Yes, yeah. We were in New Orleans, right?
Last year.
Yes, I think.
But it would have been Vegas
2 years
ago. This was New Orleans.
This was last year at New Orleans. Yeah.
We were in
New Orleans and then Vegas the one before that. Yeah, so this was last year.
The week that Matty Ice's back tensed up.
Correct.
Oh, just locked up.
Yes, this is last February. Yeah.
So Chris Johnson revealed that he was diagnosed with ALS, and the disease has progressed so quickly, and it's so sad. He uses a speech generating device now to communicate, and he's only 40. And he and his wife sat down with Michael Strahan on Good Morning America, and he started noticing a weakness in his right hand. And after meeting with doctors and a lot of medical experts, he went through testing and he received the news that he had Lou Gehrig's disease. And a doctor recommended meds that could extend his life. It doesn't sound good. And when someone tells you to get your affairs in order, it's as serious as it gets. And you and I thought about it. It's going to be weird to hear it because he was in such a good spirits, and I was so looking forward to talking with him, and we had fun with him. He was the 24th overall pick in 2008 out of East Carolina, and he spent really his whole career with, was it his whole career or the majority of his career with the Titans?
Want to say he went to Arizona, maybe.
And when he went over 2,500 yards from scrimmage in a season, it was, I believe, to this day, still the most of any all-purpose season. We'll double-check that, but I could be wrong. But
it was Tennessee, New York Jets, and Arizona Cardinals, the three teams he played for.
Made three Pro Bowls. He was Offensive Player of the Year, and he's made it clear that this disease has changed what his body can do, but not who he is inside. And it's incredible. It's courageous, and our heart goes out to him and his family. And we're going to relive a little bit of our interview with him. So what would be the date on this interview?
February 5th, 2025.
Okay. So think about how things change and how every day is such a gift. And here's Chris Johnson from our interview on Radio Row.
All right, here we go. The speed dating of sports continues. And when you say speed, we got a guy you can't slow down. East Carolina in the house. Titan in the house. CJ2K, Chris Johnson with us, courtesy of Low T Center. Good to see you, my man.
How you doing?
Good.
What's up, my boy?
All right. Let's get after it. First of all, I want to ask you this. You're one of nine guys to ever hit 2,000 or more.
Right.
Can you name the other eight?
Ah, man, yeah. Saquon.
Okay.
Derek. Eric Dickerson.
That's right.
Barry Sanders.
That's right.
Jamar Lewis.
That's right.
Myself.
That's right.
Terrell Davis.
That's right.
I'm at seven.
I think. We included you.
Who else? Who we got?
You said Eric Dickerson.
Yeah.
You said Barry.
Yeah.
You said Jamal.
I said Jamal.
You said you, obviously.
Me.
We had Saquon and Derek. Oh, I know who you missed.
AP.
All right. Yeah, I was going to say.
AP.
I'm a Viking guy. And there's one more.
There's one more.
Think about the first one. Very first one.
Oh, and OJ.
OJ. There
yeah,
you go.
OJ. Can't
All right. Forget. Look at that.
Can't forget OJ. OJ probably the best one out of. He did it in 14 games.
That's unbelievable. Yes. But think about the club you're in.
Yeah.
Nine guys in the history of this sport. Now, I want to ask you a little bit about what I know what made you great. Your speed certainly coming out was unbelievable, right? You had the fastest time at the combine ever. Was it 4.24?
4.24.
Matty, this guy raced a cheetah once. Now, the cheetah won, spoiler alert, and there was a cement wall, I think, between you.
Yeah.
Is there any truth to the rumor that you would have run even faster if you were in there with the cheetah?
Yes, I would have run a lot faster. And the great thing, I think I would have won because, like, I started to slow down at the end because I thought I had it. Because I couldn't see where he was. But I think if I could have put an eye on him and I could have seen him, I think I would have won.
Was it you and Devin Hester doing it together?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm.
Against a cheetah.
Crazy.
Okay.
I want to ask you about the current cheetah and Tyreek Hill.
Right.
Prime Chris Johnson, Tyreek Hill in his prime, where he's been the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Would you get Tyreek Hill, let's say, in a 40, or would you feel more comfortable in a 100-yard dash?
Anything.
And you got it.
Anything. Yeah, he don't stand a chance.
What went into that? The training, man. Talk about that and being able to maintain that speed throughout your career.
Man, just running track, like all my, like coming up in high school and stuff, running track every off season, and then after that, continuing my speed training and stuff like that. And I always prided myself on, like, if I ever get in the open field, I'm gonna score a touchdown. I'm a home run hitter, so. I was proud of myself on that, so I made sure my speed always stayed up to par.
Do all running backs technically run track? Should they?
They should. They all don't. Like, especially these days, a lot of kids, period, don't run track. And a lot of coaches don't allow, like in high school, a lot of these new coaches don't allow their kids to run track. And that's a bad thing, like. Sure, run track in all season, get faster. It ain't going to do nothing but make you better as a player.
A lot of people know you for your speed. What other parts of your game did you want people to respect? Because I know it was more than just speed, but what else did you bring to the table that you think people need to go back in and take a look at?
My agility, also my toughness, being able to run in between the tackles and break tackles and make people miss. Because if you look at any 2,000-yard runner, none of us guys are just running through the line scot-free and just scoring. Yeah. We're making people miss. We're breaking tackles. We're doing all those things. So, and also my pass blocking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're catching passes, man. You were doing it all.
Yeah.
10 seasons in the NFL, Titans, Cardinals, and Jets. This is Chris Johnson, CJ2K. The 2006 rushing yards during the 09 season. How many did you need going into the last game? Do you remember?
134.
You needed that many?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I needed 134 going into the last game.
Everybody knew it.
Yeah.
What was the, what about the team? What were they saying before that game? Was it a storyline that the team wanted you to get it?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Everybody, we went in there, Coach Fisher, the team, mean, like, we're going to do everything we need to do to get these 2,000 yards and stuff like that. And people on defense say we're going to do our best job to keep getting y'all the ball to back so you go out there and get it.
You got it in the fourth quarter, I assume?
Third or fourth quarter, something like that.
Okay, so I think I remember this. Tell me if I'm wrong. Which game? Was it the last game that you hit a long one, but a holding took it back?
Yeah, because I had a chance to beat Eric Dickerson's record.
That's right. You would have.
I broke, like, in the second quarter.
Because he was 21-05.
Yes, he was 21-05 in the second quarter. I had, like, a 75-yard run. Carvet.
Don't mention the guy's name. Mm. Don't. Mm. Let's keep. We'll leave out the name.
Yeah.
Tennessee Titans, elite club of running backs, and you were part of that. Yourself, Eddie George, Derrick Henry. I want to ask you about Derrick Henry because you mentioned track and field and how you think more kids should be doing track and field. It seems like Derrick is in the lab in all season,
right?
Putting in work at this point in his career. Just how impressive is it? What Derrick Henry's doing, man.
It's definitely impressive to see that him, like, at this age and at this point in his career, to go for 1,900 yards is just crazy. And it shows the way he prepares in the offseason, the way he trains, the way he eats, the way he work on his speed and things like that, the way he work on his cuts, his agility, just to be able to stay on top, it's amazing.
One thing I couldn't wait to ask you about is you on your own were getting busy, right?
Right.
You handle business yourself. We're in this era now where you got these quarterbacks that are coming to the table with this athletic ability, Jalen Hurts, Jaden Daniels, Lamar. From your perspective as a running back, what can that do for you guys when you have that threat at the running back position as well?
It does a lot. I have Vince Young.
Yeah.
I have Vince Young, so it shows it does a lot. When he play fake or hand it off and he boot or whatever like that, it holds that backside in. Or they got to pay attention to make sure he don't run. You look at Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. When they run their little inside zone playing, Lamar can take it and run backside and stuff like that. You got to pay attention to both guys. So it's like pick your poison with that as well.
Only nine guys in history have gone for 2K. We're sitting next to one of them, Chris Johnson, CJ2K, East Carolina.
Yeah.
You were not well known to them. Did you get offers from elsewhere?
Nah, that was kind of like my only D1 offer to play running back. I had Connecticut, and they wanted me to come in and play cornerback. But, yeah, that was like my only D1 offer.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
See that? Only D1 offer, and you're one of nine guys in the history of the league to run for 2K. That is one of the great stories this league has seen.
Real quick, before we let you go, Titans are on the clock.
Right.
Number one.
Travis.
There it is. Travis Hunter?
Yeah.
There you go.
All right.
Yeah.
This has been an absolute treat. You were the one guy that I kind of targeted being down here. I'm glad we slowed you down for a second.
Yeah.
CJ2K. And he answered the trivia question. He got them all.
Killed it, man.
We got it. He killed it. Good luck to you, my man.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's hard to hear. It's worth it to hear. He's a special dude. He was special in this league. Maybe he can somehow beat the odds and extend his life. And it's tough. And we talked to him clearly, I don't know, 8-10 months before he was diagnosed. And now he's sharing his story because it's important to do that. And it's courageous. There's currently no known cure for ALS. There are some treatments that may slow it down, the progression of it, and improve the quality of his life, whatever he has left. And that's why we have to pull for him.
It's all we can do. Pull for him, pray for him, whatever you deem necessary. I just remember when he was at the peak of his powers and when he came out and he was on that Madden cover, how he just couldn't wait to play with Chris Johnson on the game because he was just the ultimate cheat code, both in real life and in Madden. And so he's going to leave behind a great, great legacy. But like you said, hopefully for now in the immediate future, he can find some type of peace and healing.
All right, we will come back with Tell the Truth, Rothman and
976.
Common Man and Timmy.
I get a message from you. I ate all my steak. Good for you.
You did not get it.
You got it all in the potty.
Common Man and Timmy, afternoons on the Fan, is sponsored by the Hinderer Motor Company.
All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Tell the Truth with Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by McDaniel GM Superstore. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive.
I feel the show today had a certain theme to it. By the way, congratulations to both
Sean and David.
Sean and David. One picked up the Skyline gift card for The Floor Is Yours. And David picked up the Hothead Burritos catering package that feeds 20 that may include two others, although probably one other, because Maddie would order a wet nap and some celery, so he wouldn't even be included. Really, he could just be there to answer questions and host a radio show.
I'm just there for the vibes.
Okay? Absolutely.
I'm just there for the vibes.
All right, TLC, take us home.
All right, let's do it. Rothman, you're not that far behind. The score is 84 to 77 to 72, so you're five off.
He's running away from us now, AR. 84-77.
It cannot be reined in.
This is a two-man race now.
Wow.
This is coming down to me and AR.
I mean, we're not even at the All-Star break yet, but
yeah.
He's got a comfortable lead.
Injuries are always... We never know how that's going to play out.
You keep ducking those.
He's got a 12
home run
lead. I got
Vinny Pasquantino with a hammy right now.
Suarez is going to be out.
That injury's popped up a lot in baseball.
J-Ram got one, too, I think.
Broken hammy bones. Like, that's been popping up a lot in baseball.
What is a hammy bone? Tell the truth.
But, yeah, AR, you're hanging around, man.
Hanging around.
What's the tab for AR and I again real quick?
5 away.
Okay. Yeah. You're in the mix.
We always knew this would just be a race to not be last.
Yeah.
We all doubted that the three of us were going to come around the final turn and be within 5 of each other. So, but there's some ways to go. I'm glad I'm hanging in there.
Yeah, you're hanging in there. But yeah, he's just so top heavy right now with Junior Caminero and Matt Olson. It's ridiculous.
I mean, what we actually need to slow him down outside of a you-know-what, we just need a break. We need an All-Star break. Like, we need something to slow his momentum.
Just to recharge.
Yeah, just to stop the momentum.
And he gets, like, his guys, they come in waves, I've noticed. Like, Cameron Arrow's done this a couple times, to where he's just gone on this
crazy hitter. Nick Kurtz week in Las Vegas?
Like, that's what he gets, AR. He gets his dinger team is sponsored by Costco. Everything comes in bulk with him. Nick Kurtz, Junior Caminero. It's ridiculous. That's the break we need, ARs. His guys just chill.
All right, so let's tackle this.
It's great. I love it.
Let's tell the truth
on
this. If you were betting right now, we had to make the bet right now of who will lead the league in home runs.
Okay.
And I gave you Schwarber or Buxton or your boy Yordan or his guy Caminero or Ben Rice or Kurtz. Is there value? Because there's no value on Schwarber. And he's got a 5 home run lead, I believe.
Yes.
So I would not bet him, even though that's probably he's in a good spot. I think you got to find value. And Junior Caminero, who's 8 back, is 16-1.
Oh, so as the cooler, you bet on Junior Caminero.
now we're getting somewhere. That's exactly right. Yes. I take some of my soft-earned dollars and put them on Junior Caminero.
You know, Rothman loves his long shots.
Well, not only that, I love a good hedge and I love value.
Uh-huh.
So I am going to bet.
Please do.
So that means now I can actually root for his guy.
Because I told TLC, it's the most bittersweet thing because I have both Nick Kurtz and Junior Caminero on my fantasy teams. So I get all these alerts that my fantasy team is popping off, but my mind immediately goes to TLC's team just bodying our teams right now. And I still don't understand how I had to pay for his trash talk and him printing the shirts on the Dinger Draft.
He's blessed right now.
My guy's getting injured, not his guy.
It's a long season.
That's what happens when you don't believe in jinxes. You just say whatever you want. And
crazy.
It probably won't come true.
Oh, man.
So that's what we got. Tell the truth, by the way. Will Kyle Schwarber be a Hall of Famer? Because he will get to 500 home runs by the end of his career.
Poppy's in?
Yes.
I think Schwarber will get in then. I think Poppy opening the door, the Cooperstown door for players like a Kyle Schwarber will get him in.
I mean, historically, hitting 500 was an auto punch right in. The steroid era changed the voting a little bit in my mind. I mean, there are several home run hitters, 500 plus, who are there but excluded because of the steroid era. He's not one of those.
Big Poppy AR's got 541. I think Kyle Schwarber's getting it. I think he's stamped.
How many more does he need?
He said he's... Where's Kyle Schwarber at right now?
He's in like the high 300s.
I think he's going to get to 500 when he's done. So I think he'll get there.
33 years old, the way he's hitting. So how many does he need, do you say? 160? What did you say he needs?
TLC, what was the number again?
Well, let me look it up now that I asked this.
Oh, being 33 years old? I mean, he should.
He's got
370.
70, yes.
Oh.
He's getting there. So I think AR, when
he's 130 home runs,
you don't think he'll get there?
No, I think it's almost outside of a crazy injury.
Yeah.
How does he not?
So I think he'll be in Cooperstown. Yeah, I think he's Hall of Famer. Yeah,
somebody with a career 233 average is going to be in Cooperstown.
Yeah, who makes $20 million a year or whatever he's making.
Yeah, he's a beast, man. Hey, we got to go. Common Man and Timmy coming up next. No Timmy today. Common Man in the building with Joshua Perry. Jason Stark joins him at 5:30. They will continue all coverage on Zach Werenski and the Blue Jackets as well.
Yep, we will talk to you tomorrow at high noon. Have a great, safe day. Stay cool, and we'll hit you at high noon tomorrow. Rothman.
Stay started with T-Bone and Tybus weekday mornings.